brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we have the superintendent of schools in a particular school district here in Texas where they are arming the teachers. He will be joining us in about 30 minutes. Cindy Sheehan is going to be on with us in the fourth hour today, dealing with her run for the House of Representatives against the Speaker of the House's seat, Nancy I Love War and Corruption and the Police State Pelosi. We will also have wide open phones throughout the broadcast today. There's also an interesting little esoteric item that's up on jonesreport.com right now, an exclusive that I'll be going over a little bit later. That's jonesreport.com only. Nukes unlikely to be affected by Musharraf leaving office. And that's because it is a military puppet dictatorship with U.S. troops guarding those facilities and the same ruling Ten Council that he's been a puppet for through the U.S. and England is in control of the nuclear weapons. But we'll be going over that. Ambush of French paratroopers near Kabul kills 10 in Afghanistan. The more U.S. and, quote, coalition troops are dying now in Afghanistan than in Iraq. Russian general says Georgia may commit false flag terrorist attacks. We even have him saying this up on Russia Today because that is a main tool of government staging terror attacks. The Russians have done it throughout history, but not as much as the British or the folks in the United States or the Israelis. They just absolutely love it. The Nazis were big supporters of that form of warfare. And until the public realizes that most of the terror attacks and events you see are state-sponsored to be blamed on their enemies, I mean, who has the motive? All the Republican memos and Democratic memos and statesmen on both sides, if you can call them that, Zbigniew Brzezinski on the left, and you've then got all these neocons on the right. They're all on the same team saying how great false flags are to show the public how to give up their rights and accept wars and basically not question their activities. But top Russian general says Georgia may commit false flag terror attacks. We're going to cover that out of the break. That's a PrisonPlanet.com exclusive in the Western media. We picked up on that in the Russian news, and it's all detailed there for you at PrisonPlanet.com. Joe Biden, who they're now reporting, the AP and others, is probably who Barack Obama is going to tap if it's not Hillary Clinton. In fact, Las Vegas is in a dead heat. The people betting that it'll be Joe Biden or it will be Hillary Clinton, both master criminals. Joe Biden promises Georgia $1 billion to, quote, rebuild after the vicious, premeditated, dastardly sneak attack of the Russians. Of course, that isn't what happened, but hey, so what? You know, the public believes fluoride's good for them and mercury's good for them. Credit crunch may take out large U.S. bank, warns former IMF chief. Some financial news there. Also, Japan to label goods carbon footprints. The AP's reporting, and that's similar to what's happening in California and other places. Once you can label something, you can begin taxing people on their choices, and to tax, you have to track and chronicle. Also, Arctic ice sheet grows by 30% in 1 year at record levels since they've been recording the Arctic's growth. Doesn't matter. The public can't find the Arctic. And so, I'm not being mean here. They can just tell them that the polar bears can't swim. There's more reports of that. They're reporting on the news that polar bears are drowning because the ice all melted. Folks, polar bears are the greatest swimming land mammal. They can swim 300 miles. They routinely swim 150, 200 hunting. Does it matter? They can't swim. The public believes it. They also believe Russia attacked Georgia. Oh, my God. But they tell you, accept global tax, regulate every facet of your life, or we're all dead. The ice sheets are all melting. We're going to be flooded. Why, there's Hollywood movies that show it happening, so it must be true. So just pop open a brew, sit down, and watch American Idol. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Political jockeying, different power structures colliding. But then there is the unseen or the occult, the hidden. And I want to just briefly get into the hidden before I get into the seen. We know that the ruling elite of the planet have been guarding knowledge of the ancients for thousands of years. The knowledge of architecture, the knowledge of farming, agriculture, military knowledge, organizational knowledge, behavioral knowledge on how to govern populations, how to manipulate populations. That is just a historical fact that statecraft was developed to a high science 4,000 years ago in Egypt and, of course, in Mesopotamia and other areas of the Middle East and Central Asia, India, China. And the general public has been convinced, at least in the past, to believe that there is no hidden hand, there are no elites. There is no subterfuge going on. There is no deception going on. Government's good. The world's a wonderland. Everything's happy. Everything's fun. Just fall asleep at the wheel and just enjoy yourself. Life is a merry-go-round. Meanwhile, carnage and death and destruction goes on all around us, continually in the third world, and different globalist bodies like the UN and others have been caught paying to have women sterilized and the old euthanized and one-child policies and babies killed. And all of that goes on. And now, instead of denying that China has, quote, secret torture prisons where they took not just demonstrators, but people who didn't look right, who might embarrass the Chinese government, they take them to these facilities, according to mainstream news, and torture them and kill them and take their organs. And in every major city, they have 24 mobile execution vans per city that drive around the clock, just grabbing people and murdering them. And does the U.S. government say that's bad now? No. They did just 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Does the British government decry that? No. Does the citizenry even really decry that? No. And now we get secret jails. And the police were confronted a week and a half ago about, we hear you've got federal funds to build this secret detainment facility for 5,000 people. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory. That's not going on. And then it turns out they had built it. It was going on. I mean, if they're going to have some mass detainment facility, why not just be honest about the fact that you have it? No, it's all about secretiveness, this culture of secretiveness. That's all occult means, is secretive, hidden. And we think of one of the vestigial arms of the occult as guys in pointy hats and witches and brooms. That's a very small part of it. It just means upper knowledge, higher knowledge, walled-off knowledge, secreted knowledge, cloistered knowledge, guarded knowledge, and this is what they traffic in. And their evil cannot stand if we simply become aware of it. You know, going back to on the subject of China, they've had fake fireworks displays, they've had fake superimposed TV productions that they put out worldwide and said were real, showing God stepping into the arena on 888 at 888 in the afternoon with 888 drummers all playing at the same time. all occultic, mixing bizarre Germanic death cult druid rituals of the Olympics that Hitler revived for the 36 Olympics. He drew the rings, he came up with the torch, the name, everything is Adolf Eloys Hitler, a giant black magic ritual. I mean, you don't believe me, just go to the encyclopedia, it's admitted. Every time I throw that out that Hitler, especially years ago when nobody seemed to know, now it's more popularized, it's even been on CNN, I get emails and calls going, I thought you were crazy, and I looked it up, and it's true. It's a weird Nazi black magic ritual. Well, of course it is. See, that's all any of these people believe in. They obsess on it. It's constant. Mixed in with a bunch of bizarre Chinese mystery religion, 5,000-year-old weirdness. Numerology. And so with that backdrop, there have been scores of films, scores of newspaper articles, UN announcements, speeches. There was a Philips TV ad where it says on 9/11 everything changes. And this was in 1999. And it shows two F-16s drop 2,000-pound bombs on the World Trade Centers and blow them up. And it says, Phillips, changing your world. What? I mean, that's not even veiled. Tom Clancy comes out a year and a half before 9/11 and writes a novel about hijackers hijacking jets to fly them into the World Trade Centers. Tom Clancy writes the script for the Ghost Troop. Ghost Recon video game. And in it, in the middle of 2008, the video game was made in 2001, U.S. forces backing Georgians attack Ossetia, South Ossetia, and are repulsed. You see, it's so important to them to flaunt it and throw it in your face. And if you study black magic, which I have done, I've read quite a few books on the subject. If you study the occult, and by black magic, that they just believe that they are actively, for their own selfishness, changing the world. Going out and interfering with others, dominating others, that's black magic, or the left-hand path, and you have the right-hand path, which all these, quote, white magicians are into. Whether you believe it's real or not, the elite really do believe in this, and they believe that by putting out totems and signets and signs, ziggurats, or markers. The Vikings did it, the Egyptians did it, the Aztecs did it, they all do it. When they were about to have a battle, the Vikings and the Aztecs and the Romans and everybody else would march up with a stone or a wooden idol, a standing stone, and place it in the ground as a marker. And they believed that that projected the god's strength into them for the attack. I was just at the Capitol with family, the Texas Capitol, this weekend, showing them around. And we went into the Senate chambers that have all those famous paintings of Battle of San Jacinto, Battle of Goliad, Battle of the Alamo. And on two of the major paintings, the one from, took photos of it, I meant to put it on the web, from San Jacinto and the Alamo, there is the flag of the goddess, and they're carrying it before them. So this has been passed on since ancient times, and that's what it is when you see all of these movies and all of these programs, and I mean, there's hundreds of them. In fact, I want to open a thread up on the PrisonPlanet.com forum. Last night, when Aaron called me about this latest information he discovered, I just said, I know you're real busy trying to finish up the encoding and the upload of Fabled Enemies for the members at PrisonPlanet.tv in all these different formats and qualities. And I said, but I want you to go ahead and write a blurb. He said, sure. And I said, well, don't spend hours on it. Just put the Lone Gunman and the Simpsons and this new one in there. But we need to add a link on the PrisonPlanet.com forum so that our listeners can, because I can't even remember all the hundreds of totems or lesser magics. The spells is what these are, where they show you, you know, the Masonic U.S. Mint in the years before 9/11 creates the money where you can fold it and show the towers and the Pentagon and when they're hit, when they're on fire, when they collapse. And then within an hour of 9/11, that was on the internet already, people saying, look, you can fold money this way. Well, those that were involved in the attacks, they put that out. When that was leaked out on the message boards within 1 hour of the attack, no one would have noticed that. No one would have known that. You see, this is important to them in this ritual magic that they are engaging in. They believe that they need to leave tokens in the real world of what they're doing. And they are doing it. And they do this over and over again. Now, this latest piece of hundreds, and I want listeners to go in and contribute there in the Prison Planet forum. There's a link up on prisonplanet.com to the forum if you haven't been there. And let's create a thread and let's... There's hundreds. I mean, I'm thinking of them right now. There's so many. I can think of three Hollywood movies where they cut to a clock showing 9/11 in the couple years before 9/11, where they show the clock right when buildings blow up at 9/11, like saying buildings are going to blow up on 9/11. But this latest one is from the movie The Matrix. And we're going to cover this when we get back. I'm going to wrap up this esoteric discussion. Then we've got this superintendent coming on about arming teachers in schools. Then I'm going to get into the latest developments with the economy, with the nukes, with Pakistan. JonesReport.com is a big new development. The Matrix and other 9/11 Hollywood symbolism, JonesReport.com, Aaron Dykes. Insiders love bragging to one another about being on the inside. Perhaps that's one explanation for the abundance of Illuminati symbolism in mainstream media and corporate logos. Among these interesting references to 9/11 that have been uncovered in media release before 9/11 is a passport for Neo in the blockbuster film The Matrix, released in 1999. The passport in Neo's file shows an expiration date of September 11th, 2001, seemingly now an eerie coincidence found in the smallest of details. But guess when his passport was issued? You know, passports are issued for 10 years. It was issued on September 11th, 1991, when George Herbert Walker Bush gave his State of the Union speech calling for a new world order and 1,000 points of life, light, and a new world coming into view, a big idea. So you see that over and over again. It's issued on the date he calls for the new world order. His passport expires on 9/11/2001. And what scene is this? It's in the movie when the agents that he thinks are FBI, he doesn't know it's a Matrix, grab him and take him and then put that bug, remember, literally a bug, in his stomach to track him. Remember that? And it's in that key scene while he's being interrogated and they're looking at his United States of America, quote, capital city, USA. And, of course, they say the real capital of the United States is New York City. They call it the capital of the world. So, capital city, USA, September 11th, 2001, passport agency, United States of America. And they throw it down on the counter in front of him. You have to flip the video over on its head, which is more occultism, and then you can see it straight on. So, it's backwards. And the date is September 11th, 2001. Now, this in and of itself is not that strong. But when you then find out that Chris Carter and the X-Files 6 months before 9/11, put out a TV program, The Lone Gunman, the spinoff of The X-Files, where the government, a criminal element within the Pentagon, hijacks a jet by remote control to fly it into the World Trade Center, using remote control and blaming it on hijackers, locking down the communications of the plane, and then you find out they plan to fly it into the towers to blame it on Afghanistan and launch a war in Central Asia and the Middle East. And he starts talking to his father, who's one of the high-level shadow government people, and he says, one of the lone gunmen, he says, "Dad, you know, how are they going to cover this up? How are they going to do it?" And he says, an anti-terrorism exercise, the government will be caught off guard because it's going to be done as part of an anti-terror exercise tonight. So exactly what happened 6 months later. The government did run drills of the World Trade Center Pentagon being hit by hijacked jets that day, and that was used as the cover. And don't forget, they had Tripod 2 of an anthrax attack going on, where they had already days before moved out of Building 7 and moved to mobile command centers so they could continue to organize and run everything even when they blew their own buildings up. I mean, it is just amazing. And then you look at 7-7, the exact trains being bombed at the exact same time at the exact same locations, one out of 23-plus tretagillion, billions of times all the grains of sand in all the world. But then you see all the other 9/11 symbolism in TV and movies leading up to 9/11. Then you have The Long Kiss Goodnight in 97, big Hollywood movie, where a secret government group of defense contractors have tried to blow up the World Trade Center in 93, which is really what they did. That came out in the New York Times. And they say, but this time, you know, the terrorists didn't do a good job for us, so we're just going to blow it up ourselves. How else are we going to get a war in the Middle East? So later in the show, I'm going to get back into this and play some of those clips. Or our great YouTube directors out there are welcome to take my analysis right now and put it in with all those clips of The Matrix and The Lone Gunman and all of this. And because I don't have the personnel, if you want to really wake people up, that'll be a top viral video, whoever makes that. But this is what we're dealing with here. And we've got some other examples up on JonesReport.com. It's the second story from the top at JonesReport.com. Now, as I said, we're going to get into armed teachers in Texas. I think it's a good idea if it's handled right. We'll find out what you think later. Superintendent joining us, scheduled to. And then we're going to get into the whole geopolitical situation and then back into the esoteric and then Cindy Sheehan. Stay with me.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring.
If you look at the unified crime statistics of the Department of Justice since 1991, school shootings have dropped around 25%. And most of those are gangbangers shooting each other in some of the worst areas of the country, Chicago, L.A., New York. And normally they're in victim disarmament zones, where the general public has been disarmed, or there's very strict victim disarmament known as gun control. But still the media hypes it up to where national studies show the average American believes there's an epidemic of school shootings. There have been a lot of cases that should be famous but aren't in Louisiana and Texas and Arkansas and New York, just scores of cases of where a teenager comes in and starts shooting and may wound one or two people, may kill one person, some cases shoots but misses, and a teacher has broken the, quote, law and had a gun in their briefcase, or they've run out to their car quickly and gotten a firearm and shot them or driven them off till the police can get there. And it'll be in the regional news, but never national news. Now, my father grew up, of course, in East Texas in a pretty good-sized rural school district, and he would, during quail season or dove season, he'd take a shotgun to school. He would get dropped off or ride the bus in, and he was friends with all the coaches, and he would go hunting with them and, you know, some of the other football players. And they had, and just until a few years ago, even New York City still had a shooting club for the people, never had a problem. In every one of the mass shooting cases, Harrison, Klebold, Kinkle, the latest cases, the crazy man up in Blacksburg, Virginia, they're all on serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And, of course, it's admitted on the Prozac insert and all other serotonin reuptake inhibitors, drug sheets, fact sheets, admit it causes psychotic breaks and violent outbreaks. It's a hallucinogen. And so some days you're having a good trip, some days you have a bad trip. So what we really should control is that in young people, but that's not going to happen because the drug companies are pushing it more than ever through the New Freedom Initiative in the schools for, quote, mental health screening. But that's the real root of so much of this. But going to our guest, there have been student groups and colleges and teacher groups who've been calling for being able to be armed or taking a course or letting it be at the discretion of the superintendent of schools or the principal to have an instant access pistol safe, which only they can access in their desk. And I think it's a fabulous idea. It's been proposed. Texas school district to let teachers carry guns. A Texas school district will let teachers bring guns to classes in North Texas. The district superintendent said on Friday in what experts said appear to be a first in the United States. And I don't like Rick Perry because he's not a real conservative, but I do like what he's done here. Texas Governor Rick Perry, okay, but teachers, staff carrying guns at school. So this is precedent setting. And we are joined by the Herald ISD superintendent, David Thwaite. And David, we appreciate you coming on, sir.
Man, I'm glad to be here.
I kind of prefaced that with some of the history. Tell us about your school district, your decision to do this, or how this occurred, and where you see all this going.
Well, you know, Alex, whenever we're looking at the history of school shooting and you're talking about them, but I think when we go back to the 95 and the Brady Bill and not allowing guns in schools, I think we've created a killing zone, and that's when all these major school shootings have occurred. When we started looking at security, we decided, obviously, we needed to do something passive, and that's the first thing we did. We installed the one-entry school with the electronic entry. All the teachers have fobs that they can wave in front of a magnetic strip, unlock the door, et cetera. We also installed in that system a panic system in the administrative offices. It can be a button can be pushed. All those doors can be locked. Sirens go off. And we also have state-of-the-art cameras. So we spent a lot of money making sure that we have every passive system in place to avoid things. But then several things started happening. The first thing that happened was in October 06, you'll remember the shooting in Pennsylvania with the Amish. That was very disturbing. And what was disturbing about that was a known entity who came into the school. I believe he was a milk delivery man, wasn't he? And he came in and shot. And so they let him in the door. He said they welcomed him. And so we could have a situation where we'd welcome somebody, a delivery man, somebody who's normally there, somebody who for any number of reasons becomes evil or starts acting that way. The next thing that was disturbing was the Virginia Tech. Now, obviously part of our plan and many emergency plans is that the teachers lock those doors, bring the children in, and protect them. Well, in that case, he just chained the doors shut, and then I think he went and knocked the doors down and went and shot him in the classroom. So basically, what we had to say is what happens if somebody gets in our building? And that's it's not too hard to do. They're going to break in. They're going to do something to work their way in around our passive security system.
Or you can, with the passive, have the other form, like we just saw at that mega Baptist church
right
out in Colorado, where the security guard was armed, and so he was stopped dead in his tracks instead of killing 50 people.
That's right. But here we are, 30 minutes from law enforcement. So, you know, how much killing can be done in 30 minutes? A lot. And not just that, but many of us have our own children in that school, and we could, and we live nearby, we could, but you know, somebody comes in the door, I'm going to run out of the building, leave my children there to go get a gun. Well, you know, that's a hard decision, and I don't think I could make that. So we had to come up with some solution. So we started researching the policies, and of course, obviously, when anybody researches gun violence and the real statistics around it, you're going to find that there's a whole lot of hype, just like you said, in Hollywood and anybody else. And we found out that, you know, guns aren't dangerous. Really, what's killing kids is transportation and bathtubs and swimming pools and many other things.
And football accidents kill more each year than school shootings.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we are willing to take risks for. And so we decided to go the concealed route because, obviously, the state legislature allows that. Now, we've taken several precautions. Concealed handgun is needed. I mean, a concealed license is needed for the teacher. Then they have to be approved by the board, by name, not position, but by name. And then we work on training, hostage, taking room clearance, shooting, a wide gamut, extensive training, okay? And then we're talking about having to be concealed on that person at all times and it must be frangible ammunition. It's got to be ammunition that breaks apart when it hits a hard object.
Yeah, the sear safety slugs. You don't want it going through a wall and killing children on the other side. So right. It's the type that are basically plastic bullets that have a metal casing around it, devastating to whoever you shoot, but won't go through a wall.
Right. So we've taken lots of precautions, and people have talked about, I know I have several reporters asking me, what if somebody takes that gun? Well, first of all, let's go back historically, and you were talking about the East Texas stories. There's all kinds of stories. Before 95, guns were allowed on campuses, and many school districts had individual rules, but basically there were guns on campuses, and there's no anything documented from 95
That's right.
back.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly. And literally, when my father grew up, this was even in big cities, not just small towns.
Right.
I mean, during deer season, during other hunting seasons, there were just guys everywhere walking around putting their shotguns in their lockers because they would all get together and go hunting. And you never had accidents because safety was taught. We were a better country then, I guess. And then they
right.
take the guns away, and it creates a big, giant, red flashing sign saying, victim disarmament zone, come here, and you'll have a bunch of passive people because you're a coward, and you know you can carry out your evil unopposed.
That's right. And this is not just in Texas. I've heard a story of somebody up in the 60s and 70s in New York City, and they were in a shooting club, and they remember carrying their gun on the subway to school, coming to school, and showing their teacher their new gun. And the teacher, a woman, says, oh, that's neat. Look at the pistol I just bought, and pulled one out of her purse. I said, this is stuff is going on. This was what's happening.
Hey, I'm not that old, but I remember, you know, up there with the history teacher, who'd also be the football coach, you know, showing off who's got the best old Henry pocket knives. You get caught with one of those now, they'll probably hang you.
Well, what we've done is vilify the tools, not the people, and we need to do that. And what makes me mad about the liberal press, somebody tried to question me the other day about police officers miss 2/3 of the time. Well, that's only half the statistic, Alex. You know, what you really need to say is they're coming in to a situation
where
they don't know anything about it.
Guns stop 14 million crimes a year.
That's
okay,
right.
Bottom line, guns have saved just millions of people every year, and all the facts are there.
That's right. That's right. And obviously, here we have it. If somebody can tell me another solution, when you have an active shooter, I can lead them away from a fire. I can lead them away from a tornado. I can lead them away from a toxic spill on the railroad that runs near my school. I cannot lead them away from an active shooter. You don't take a knife to a gunfight. What else do you take? If somebody can tell me the technology, I'll take it.
Well,
but
if you get just
happens,
three or four teachers that are armed, you know, they're going to come at you with this. They're going to say, what if one of the teachers goes nuts? Well, that could happen anyways, and they're going to bring the gun. They're going to get in. God forbid, we don't really have any cases of that, but they're going to say, in fact, they're already saying that. Well, the answer is yes. If a trusted person who's normally there gets through with it, we're going to have other people that are armed who can checkmate them.
That's exactly right. You know, let's do a statistical thing. Let's say that we don't do anything with the gun-free zones for the next decade, and we have as many shootings as we've had. Let's say that there are 10 in a 10-year period, and let's say that we average on average 10 deaths each time. That's 100 students that have died. Let's say that we implement some gun safety, and that stops the shootings, but we actually have two accidents. Let's say we kill two or three people. Well, just looking at the hard, cold facts, we would have saved 97 lives.
Well, I agree, but bottom line, it's about, are we men or mice? Are we women or mice? Is this a free country? Do we have a Second Amendment? Are we going to give in to terrorists, give in to criminals, give in
right.
to violent schizophrenics, or are we going to go back to a culture of Davy Crockett and self-reliance that made this nation great? Are we going to teach our children that we're cowards and we just dial 911 and wait to die, or are we going to teach them to stand up and take action?
You're preaching to the choir.
Well, it's beautiful, and what'd you think when you got a positive response mainly from this? I mean, I've seen the national polls. It was almost 50-50 15 years ago that the gun grabbers had kind of brainwashed the public. Now most polls show around 75% of the people are sick of the gun control, the victim disarmament, and arming teachers, arming college students, having guns in dorms. It's now becoming popular, and the gun grabbers are really getting frustrated right now.
I was overwhelmed with the response that I'm getting. I'm getting emails all over the place, and I'm getting a few negatives. Obviously, you know what? Half the negatives are from Europe and other places like UK and the Netherlands who don't believe in guns. But it's overwhelming, Alex. And I would like to thank your listeners who are listening who have sent those in to me, because it's been very encouraging. because the liberal press is trying to put a bad spin on this, and I'm not going to let them, because the arguments are not there. The evidence isn't there. All they can say, all they can do is poo-poo the idea, but they cannot bring up evidence. All they can say is, this is the most dangerous idea in history, as Fallon is saying down in Houston. But you know what? She's not an expert on it.
Well, you know,
and
what?
You know what? I don't want to hear about it, because give me some reasons. I can take reasons.
They are scared of the precedent that we are allowed to defend ourselves and that we have a right to defense. They are scared of, and listen, if we would have just implemented guns in the cockpits instead of taking them out as they did a few years before 9/11, if we would have implemented guns in the schools instead of taking them out in 95, as you said, when all this started, then we wouldn't need to have these schools be little mini prisons and our children basically being, you know, trained to be in these little prisons. Instead
That's right.
of all the passive stuff, we needed to. So listen, you are really doing something revolutionary here, which just gets back to our American roots.
That's right. Well, you know, it's sad that it has to be this way. Why in the world did we ever get to this point? And, you know, I want to know what we did before we had police officers. I don't think they came along until, like, the 1870s.
That's right. New York started
what did we
the first
do before
force.
Then? The
New York started the first force in 1866.
Right. So, and that's where we got the word copper, because they had word copper badges, and then we copied them after London. And here's another interesting stat about London bobbies. They didn't carry guns until the 1970s or 80s, until they started disarming their people.
And then the crime rate has
right.
exploded to the highest in Europe. Now, we have more murders in the U.S. per capita, but they have more muggings and woundings. They have now hundreds of knifings a week in England, murders. Look at Japan, where these killers go in to shopping malls and, you know, kill 15 people with a knife. The answer
right.
is letting the people defend themselves instead of setting this monopoly of power where only the state has it. Plus, sir, there's the danger of only having the government with the guns. That always leads to tyranny.
That always does. And that's not, I love some blog. It said the Second Amendment needs to be adjusted. Oh, my goodness. I want to know how come we have to go to classes for the Second Amendment, but we don't have to do it for freedom of speech or religion. You know, we don't have to go to classes in order to practice freedom of speech. The amendments are there. You know, you can't be talking about wanting to adjust them without changing
well,
the very way that we think in America.
Look at the highest crime rates where they have victim disarmament. Chicago, D.C., New York, where they have crime rates in some cases 100%+ higher. I mean, you don't have a lot of home invasions in Texas because they don't go in your house when you're there like they do in New York, because they know half the households have got somebody waiting on the other side with a gun. And look where they've implemented concealed carry in Florida, in Texas, and in a dozen plus other states. On average, you can pull these numbers up, a 24% drop in carjackings, in home invasions within 1 year.
Yeah, it's immediate. It, the evidence is all there.
So, sir, did you form this plan? I mean, what was the zenith or the genesis of this idea?
I just, you know, it just made sense. I mean, it's just a matter of thinking things through. I've always been a outside-the-box thinker, and this is not the only thing we've done outside the box. I think we're the only school this size. I started reading research how that reading music and playing an instrument raises IQ 10 to 15 points permanently. And so we started a jazz band program, not a marching band. We don't need the numbers. We wanted the music. And this year we started a K-4 individual piano lessons. We've think outside the box. What's going to work? Let's do something that is actually going to work. And that's what we did.
Now, have you been contacted by other school districts around the country or Texas that are interested in seeing what you've done?
No, I think that, you know, it's really interesting in education that obviously there is a certain amount of we want to stick together on a lot of stuff, but I think a lot of folks are kind of watching and seeing to see what happens. And I think a lot of people don't understand, and they've bought into all of the propaganda that guns are going to kill. And I mentioned it, one of my friends and I that I, we were going to do it, and he said, well, what about the safety? And I said, what do you mean the safety? He goes, you mean, are you talking about guns in the school? Yeah. Okay, automatically you think, oh my gosh, you have a gun there, it's going to go off, things are going to happen.
Oh, they think
that's
that
what
guns
they automatically think.
They think guns
right.
like have feet and crawl out of their holsters and and like have some evil agency
right.
to them. Well, look, I wouldn't put my children in any major city public school because they're federalized, they're dumbing them down, the drugging, the unhealthy food, the commercialism. There are some rural
right.
schools I'm aware of that if I did live in a rural area, I might even have them go to public school because I know some of the principals and people that are involved, and those are the schools that continue to get the high scores almost as good as private and homeschooling because they're not under this federal model. But I'll say this, this goes a long way towards making it a public school that you could put your children in, knowing that it's not a victim disarmament zone, a shooting gallery. And
well,
plus, all the media hype advertises the schools as a place for a nut to go to do this. Go ahead.
All right. John, I mean, just it's a side note that it's funny that you mentioned the federal program. I do take some free and reduced money. We have a large class of low socioeconomic level students, but we don't take any title money. We don't do that. We don't do all the nickel B stuff. But our scores, we have a recognized school. We're doing what's right for students.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us. Is there a website people can visit to learn more about the Herald ISD, David?
Well, it's heraldisd.net, and they can go to that. It's two R's in Herald, and go to our new website. We're still in the process of trying to get it up and going, but it's, you know, we're just a small district just doing our job.
Superintendent,
and trying to do what's right for students.
Superintendent David Thweet, thank you for joining us. We'll check in with you as this unfolds. Final segment with Superintendent of Herald ISD in North Texas, David Thweet. David, in closing, what you're doing is so important is it does set a precedent, and it shows great courage in this gelded, emasculated society. The establishment, the UN has said in treaties with the United States, they want a monopoly of power by the state, and tyranny always comes in the form of a uniform in a government disarming its people, and this slide towards disarming us and threatens our entire way of life, but it also threatens the safety of our citizens. And so I want to thank you for being a true trailblazer, and I'm so proud that so much of the trailblazing we're seeing is happening in Texas. What was the response of the parents? I mean, did you first propose this to the school board? Was this done in an open setting? When did this debate about doing this start?
I think it started, we passed it on October 22nd, 2007, and I think the debate started about a year and a half before that as we discussed it and looked at it, and we discussed it several times. I think, like I said, what drove us over the edge was, first of all, the Amish, and then I think Virginia Tech is what was, I think that was the final straw. And as we started looking at solving the real problems, and it was passed unanimously by our board, and the parents of our district, which aren't very many, but they have... They support it 100%. I say mostly 100%. There's a few that have qualms, but again, you know, I think it's because again they have been duped by the media and they haven't listened to the arguments. But a lot of our students come from outside the district. They choose to come here.
Well,
and they like to. I'm
sure.
Sorry,
sure. No, when I travel to England or I travel to New York or Chicago, you see the criminal thug types all over the streets. They're arrogant. They look aggressively at you. You see them intimidating women, you know, as we said, hundreds of times higher muggings and killings. And then you go to another Texas city or Arizona city or Vermont city or Florida city where you've got armed citizenry and the crooks are scared. I mean, what can't the domesticated people out there who've never been around a gun understand about that? I mean, why do they feel safe when they see a police officer with a gun, but then they don't feel safe when they see it? I mean, now even in Texas, you try to drive with a deer rifle in your gun rack, the cops pull you over. I mean, how did we overnight turn into this idea of guns being in citizens' hands are so scary, and I see you turning the tide?
I don't know. I really wish I knew. I think, as you've talked about it, we just want to be a bunch of victims. We don't want to take the power back into our own lives. But you know what? In rural America, we have to do that. We have to take care of business. We can't wait around for somebody else to solve the problem for us. We are our only solution, and we help each other out. But, you know, you have to protect yourself.
And we have seen some nuts in rural areas. That's where a lot of your shootings have happened, and it's very important what you're doing. You know, I think you can get rid of the prison door and the cameras. I know you're doing that because that's what the feds called for and what was pushed, the money that was offered. But I really think if you arm four or five teachers, your problem solved, and we can go back to Mayberry RFD. We really commend you, David Thweet, Herald ISD superintendent, and Godspeed.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
You bet. God bless. Okay, folks, there he goes. And I appreciate my producer getting him on the broadcast. He's going to be on Glenn Beck today later, so we got him first. Okay, I got a big stack of important news here that I want to go over. There has also been more dangerous disinformation in the Patriot movement aimed at myself and Ted Anderson. And so at the bottom of this hour, I am just going to, in a nebulous fashion, briefly address it, because it is this type of rot gut poison that stalls and brings down movements, at least on a local front. So I'll have about a 2-minute comment on the, I don't know, delusional treachery craziness. A lot of people are so obsessed with me. It's getting worse and worse. I mean, I'm really getting to where I don't want to go to events. I don't want to even do this anymore sometimes, because I hate being the center of attention, and I can't stand all these other people in the movement who literally eat, drink, and sleep Alex Jones, and so they want to hate me, so they invent stuff to hate me about.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Cindy Sheehan, running for the House of Representatives against Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, joins us in T-minus 2 hours. I have a whole bunch of thermite explosives experts and intelligence operatives running it. A couple months ago, their final report was leaked, and they admitted it was their report and were very mad about it being leaked. By leaked, their website was basically hacked, and it was brought forward. So we already have the report, and then they scurried around and were trying to revise it. That is coming out Thursday. Now, they said they were going to release this in 2005, 2006, 2007, early 2008, and then now they're saying they're doing, and they've announced before they're going to release it in a few days, and then they have to get their lies straight and don't. But it'll probably be very similar to the last draft report. They're calling this one a draft. It's always a draft, so they can change lies. In the report, they say that they don't know why the towers fell, and it wasn't the fuel oil tank, it wasn't bad construction, it wasn't fire. We'll see what they do here. Also, that 25% of the building was not scooped out. That's all admitted. In fact, in Fable Inn, we have the front of the building, they say, was scooped out, and nothing scooped out. A few windows are knocked out on the bottom floor. Boy, that's scooped out. We have video inside of there. It's just incredible deception. I'm lining up Kevin Ryan, Stephen Jones, and others to talk about this Thursday and Friday. We're going to have Burmese pop in. All next week, Burmese is going to be in studio. I am going to be driving out to Denver this weekend, and I'll be there on the ground, because that's going to be probably where the fireworks are, with the police state, the secret camp, and the rest of it. And I pray I don't get arrested. I'm really getting tired of getting manhandled and taken to jail and slammed around. But we'll see what happens. This country's so far gone, you try to videotape cops from 100 yards away, they just come over and talk to you like you're a pile of horsemaner and just with pleasure arrest you. So I just feel sorry for them when they're doing it. This country's so far gone. I just want to resuscitate it. I was having nightmares all last night. I was on Coast to Coast AM, and then I went to sleep. And then I was just having these nightmares all. It was like case after case. You know, you ever have dreams where they just go on all night? It's not just glimpses of dreams. It's like long, drawn-out dreams. And it wasn't my children, except in one of the dreams being grabbed by CPS. It was other people's children. And the dreams were so detailed. It'd be like I'd have a bird's-eye view of a guy pulled over who has an expired driver's license for whatever reason. And the police find out he's got an expired driver's license, and then they take the two, you know, 3 and 5 years old, it looked like, children out of the back of the car. They're crying. They put them in a CPS van, and the father is taken to jail, and the car is impounded. And then it would be inside the CPS facility with these sacks of pus. And I'd be looking at their faces in the dream and watching them interrogate the kids and not give them food till they lie about their parents. And the CPS with dolls saying, "Do they touch you here?" And then, of course, children have all been cleaned or had their diapers changed, and they could say yes. And then the children being taken, and then it would cut back in the dream with the parents crying and freaking out and and went on. It was like years of this last night. I was just seeing all this evil. Of course, it was manufactured in my mind, but it was all based on real cases of what they really do. And then I woke up at like 6:38 saying, I got to get out of this country. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, I'm going to get into world news now. And after the bottom of the hour, we'll start taking your phone calls maybe even earlier than that. Nukes unlikely to be affected by Musharraf leaving. Associated Press, Musharraf's departure from the presidency is unlikely to have a significant impact on how Pakistan's nuclear weapons are controlled. Experts say a 10-member committee and not just the president make decisions on how to use them and how to complete meltdown in governance. And only a complete meltdown in governance, still a distant prospect in Pakistan, could put the atomic bomb in the hands of extremists. Pakistan's nuclear assets are not one man's property, said Maria Sultan, a defense analyst and director of the London-based South Asia Strategic Stability Institute. Any politician in transition in Pakistan will have no effect on Pakistan's nuclear assets because it has a very strong custodial control. The committee known as the National Command Authority is served by a military-dominated organization with thousands of security forces and intelligence agents whose personnel are closely screened. The nuclear facilities are tightly guarded. Now, let me just give you the facts. You can go pull all this up if you'd like. The United States and England, as well as some help from Israel, but mainly England and the U.S., in the mid-90s began giving AQCON Laboratories, based in Pakistan, as their front, the components, the centrifuges, the materials, to successfully build atomic bombs. Then the West, England, the U.S., Israel again, helped give them the medium-range missiles that have 3,000-kilometer ranges. That's more than 2,000-mile ranges. You can draw a 2,200, 300-mile circle, and you can go look at different geopolitical and governmental sites that break this down. You can see, or just type into Google, the nuclear reach of Pakistan's missiles, or the reach of Pakistan's nuclear tip missiles. You can pull up all those maps. But they can hit a lot of countries. They can hit Russia. They can hit India. They can hit China. They can hit Iran. But they can reach out further than that. They can hit Israel. But that's supposedly okay. That's supposedly all right if they can hit Turkey. It's okay if they can hit Georgia. It's okay if they can hit Afghanistan and scores of other nations. That's all right. It's a nuclear Iran that we have to worry about, the media tells us, when Iran has been totally inspected by the UN, given into global government, has no nuclear program, but the AP and everybody else run these deceptive headlines every day saying Israel may attack Iran's nukes. And then in the bottom of the article it says peaceful reactors that can't be used to purify uranium to a level to be used in the crudest of weapons. Just a fact, but why give the public the facts when you can tell them that Russia attacked Georgia? Or you can tell the public that there's never been mercury in vaccines and later admit there's mercury in vaccines and say it's good for you. I mean, they just lie, or say that vaccines are the law to take when it's not the law. And I use that as an example just of the, or there are WMDs in Iraq and create fake Niger uranium documents. They just lie. If you had a neighbor, if you had a spouse, if you had a cousin, if you had a business partner who lied and cheated and backstabbed, wouldn't you stop dealing with them? Well, actually, no. It's not just that we've become acclimated to accepting lies by our own government and lies by our local governments. We've now accepted lies from our bosses and lies from our employees and lies from our spouses and lies from our neighbors. And lies from the media. It's just become they all lie, but then no one really knows what the truth is and just doesn't do any studying and just kind of says, oh, you can't believe anything. And that's the more astute people. More often than not, you run into populations who say, well, I choose the reality I want to believe. I choose to believe Barack Obama. I choose to believe John McCain. I choose to believe that they run things, or that's one lie. Or I choose to believe they're not puppets. I choose to believe they're good guys. I choose to believe that George Bush is a good Christian conservative. I choose to believe Bush when he tells me that they're not having warrantless spying on American people, and he promised in press conferences, then it came out a month later he was lying, and then said, okay, we are spying on you retroactively, pass a law so we're not felons. We accept the lies when Denver says, there's no secret camp a week and a half ago. That's a conspiracy theory. That was in the news. Oh, there's rumors of secret roundup plans and secret detention centers. People said, well, wait a minute, there's federal grants for this. Oh, they found the location to the grant. They went out there. Local independent media. We are changing others. And there they are. Can hold 5,000 people, barbed wire fences inside, concertina wire, and it says electroshock devices used in this area. Letting you know, we're going to shock you. There's signs up. We're going to put you in a camp you couldn't keep dogs or horses in, and we're going to shock you. We're going to drive buses in and run them to make you sick, and the cops stand around laughing outside where everybody vomits. We're going to hit you with carbon monoxide. We're going to have people go to the hospital. We're going to put you in a 70-year-old bus terminal with 3 inches of chemicals on it. And I went to the New York jail, and they were releasing them after 2 days in the camp, Pier 57. And I watched the huge boils and red chemical burns, and it's all real funny. And I'd walk up 100-and-something yards. It's all in martial law. 911 rides the police state. Cop comes over. I'm across two streets behind barricades videotaping. He runs over and goes, what are you doing here? Get the hell out of here. What are you doing here? Well, we're here for this. I told you, shut up. I told you, shut up. That's America. And they did the same thing that We Are Change. They told CBS, get out of here. This is secret. You, the slaves, you see, the police call us civilians. That's military terminology. Mayors call us, governors call us civilians. They've been introduced to a military terminology, military culture. Now the FEMA emergency centers are in every city, merging the police departments under federal control with the firemen and emergency management. The Washington Post comes out Friday and says, yeah, they're about to pass a law openly turning the local departments into intelligence agencies to spy on the citizens. It's already going on criminally. They're already breaking the law, having the military and the state police spy on anybody and everybody, unless they're real terrorists. I mean, if you're real hijackers, you know, working at military bases and riding around with Nick Berg, who later got his head sawed off, and all the rest of this, oh, that's all ignored. If you call the FBI 50 times saying these people are hijackers, they plan to attack, the FBI was told stand down because, no, those were just agents out to parrot and, quote, test security is what they've been told. Just like the Navy SEALs and the FBI and others practice attacking their own embassies, practice trying to sneak bombs through airports. See, that's the cover story. And if I was you police and military, I wouldn't take part in those drills because sometimes they're going to have you really go on a plane and then it's going to blow up and they're going to say, Tom Jones or Bill Simon or whatever the hypothetical name is, yeah, he was a white American Al-Qaeda. He went on the plane and blew it up. And you're taking part in the drill. That's one of their favorite ways to set you up. We're dealing with some smart devils here. But I already digress. Pakistan is completely run by U.S. and British intelligence. The military runs it. Musharraf was just a front man. The people don't want him anymore, so they're going to put a new front man in front of everybody's eyes. Period. Period. The committee known as the National Command Authority is served by a military-dominated organization with thousands of security forces and intelligence agents whose personnel are closely screened. Britain's been running that country for 150 years. The nuclear facilities are tightly guarded. The reality is that Pakistan's government exists on different levels. One is the level existed and works in the control of its nuclear weapons. See, that's the shadow government. That's the continuity of government. Same thing here. And it was continuity of government that ran the 9/11 attacks with their clients out of England and Israel and some major defense contractors. And that's what Jason Burmes' new film, Fabled Enemies, now available. It covers Israel, Pakistan, England, how they all nexus together. One motley crew, U.S. intelligence, carrying out the attacks. You want to know how it was done? You want to know how they did it? This film covers it. You can order it now at InfoWars.com. Fabled Enemies ships in just 12 days. You'll be able to see it September 1st at PrisonPlanet.tv in super high quality. Get your membership today, only 15 cents a day, and see Terror Storm and Endgame and Truth Rising and my weekly TV reports, and get the last hour of this show that we always do as a live video feed. We have other special guests. Sometimes we've done 4 hours of a live video feed for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers with the video cam, the document cam, exclusive video streamed at PrisonPlanet.tv live first. We also archive the hour we do every day live, sometimes more, at PrisonPlanet.tv. Sunday show we videotape and put up on the web. The local TV show I do. All of it with your PrisonPlanet.tv membership. And yes, your support of PrisonPlanet.tv funds the servers and so much of what we do. And this isn't your daddy's internet. We've got two big CDNs, content distribution networks that are very expensive. The CDNs alone are $14,000 a month. The money comes in here and it goes right back out, ladies and gentlemen, to give PrisonPlanet.tv members the best videos, the best downloads in super high quality. And then we use those CDNs to power the other sites, and without it, we couldn't operate. So I want to thank all of you out there for your support as PrisonPlanet.tv members. And we're trying to up the ante. We're trying to gear up the new office and get the personnel in and move forward. But we have such a skeleton crew that it's so hard to even hire the new people. I'm not complaining. I'm saying we're moving as fast as we can. It's easy to dream. It's easy to talk. It's hard to actually get things done. Especially when you have packs of do-nothing ne'er-do-wells who I never even think about, ranging around schizophrenically thinking I'm obsessing on them or doing something to them. I could care less. All these rinky-dink other networks and other hosts. I mean, one of my YouTube videos every day is bigger than what you do in a week. All of you combined. It's a joke. We dwarf you. It's like we're the planet Jupiter and you're a tiny asteroid. Get it? We don't care about you. We're moving forward against the New World Order.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm.
To this world we're born,
into this house we're born.
To this world we're thrown,
into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out of line.
Think about the majesty of life when you realize how small and pathetic these New World Order people are.
There's a killer on the road.
Think about it. We are creatures living on a gorgeous planet with all these life forms, beautiful deep seas, a giant stone moon orbiting, flying through space. Just think of that image. Oh, man. And then none of it matters, does it? All that matters is life and goodness and decency. Of course, those lives are over. Or 10 French paratroopers, because they've got to guard the opium. And pull up the international numbers on this. Eightfold increase as of last year's numbers. The new ones aren't out. And it grows every year. Record. Biggest ever. In the hundreds of years they've been shipping opium out of Afghanistan that is then turned into heroin, purified, concentrated. It is just pouring out. Smack. Heroin is just pouring out all over the streets of Western Europe, Eastern Europe, Asia, the United States. And I've talked to the troops that come home, but it's come out in news, and it shows the images. They'll spin it and say, U.S. Marines, U.S. Army, French troops guard poppy fields from the Taliban. And you read, it's just kind of hidden right out in plain view. Kind of like Richard Grasso, head of the New York Stock Exchange in 99, in Reuters and other newspapers. He went down, had a meeting with the FARC guerrillas. They finally killed the guy. They promised they would if he didn't invest the drug money out of Colombia, the communist drug money, in the New York Stock Exchange. You know, it's legal for drug money to be invested as long as it's offshore and brought in. That's right. They have all special rules for themselves. And Richard Grasso hugged the head of the FARC and said, invest your tens of billions a month with us or you'll be invaded. And he didn't go along with it, so U.S. troops then invaded, and thousands of U.S. troops have died there. It's all just kept quiet, but talk to any of the troops that come back. Oh, it's hardcore combat every day out there. And then if missionary tries to fly in. You know, they shoot down any small aircraft that don't have transponders. But the U.S. aircraft take off every few minutes with cocaine on board. Just taking off. But any other little planes land or take off, oh, gunships come in. They got mercenaries shooting everybody down. It's just fighting over that cocaine, fighting over that heroin. And then police are in the schools telling your children, tattle on your parents. What's in the medicine cabinet? Do you ever see them roll a cigarette? Tell us about it. You'll get $200. Yeah, and mommy and daddy will be going to jail. Yeah, we gotta have secret police and spy and have checkpoints to stop the drugs while the government openly guards the opium and ships it in and openly runs the cocaine. Now, does that mean there aren't smaller cartels and drug rings and cowboys they got to kill and hunt down and arrest? Does that mean they don't like snacks and don't bust little local cocaine dealers who are cutting in on the cops' drug dealing? Absolutely. It's a war. So, see, they need to have drugs illegal so they can monopolize it, and by making it a monopoly, it jacks up prices. It's called a business. And his daddy raised him to be a businessman. Cold, ruthless, powerful, focused. And then you've got a nation, a world of just jellyfish in denial that face any tyranny, any evil, and they just deny it. Nope, doesn't exist because you're scared to face it. You're concerned with your instant gratification and with protecting yourself for the moment, and so you lose the war for liberty. Because you never take the field, because you're so scared of the evil, at the back of your mind, oh, that's just crazy conspiracy, everything's fine, because it's your job as a cop. You're not dealing drugs, you're out giving tickets and getting cats out of trees or, you know, going to domestic disturbances, you got a tough job. I wouldn't want to work for $35,000 a year hanging my butt out in traffic and stumbling around writing tickets all day and dealing with drunks. But the point is, don't deny it. It's been in the Miami Herald. It's been in Esquire magazine. It's been in Reuters, you know, with a plane lands and the local sheriff's deputies have got a tip and they go grab it and it's a plane full of tons of cocaine and the guys all flash CIA badges and the FBI pulls up and tells the local cops get out of here. Or state police in Texas find an 18-wheeler with 3 tons of coke. I'm just giving you a few well-known cases. And the FBI shows up and says, that's ours. Thank you. And they're not going to stop. And they know that you're waking up to them, so they want a police state. They want a new world order. They want to lock down America, lock down Europe, so they can keep doing it. Think about these bastards. They don't just get you hooked on drugs, illegal and legal. They push them on you. And then if they catch you using their product, they throw you in a prison where you work for 20 cents an hour for them, also displacing the rest of the public that pays to put you in there.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Listen up, enemies.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. We're the renegades in this atomic age.
And we're the renegades.
This atomic age, we're renegades. We're renegades in this atomic age. This atomic age, we're renegades. And then the Renaissance came, and times continue to change. Nothing stayed the same, but there were always renegades. Like Chief Sinful, Tom Paine, Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, they were renegades.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to get into more of what's happening with the Georgia-Russia situation, and you're taking some of your phone calls. Russian general says Georgia may commit false flag terrorist attacks. Big news. Up on PrisonPlanet.com. Okay. I said I would address some stuff only for audiences that even know what I'm talking about, because I'm not going to give attention on this international program that, you know, members of the Japanese parliament listen to, and German defense ministers, former defense ministers, Hollywood folks, people in banking, because we know what's going on. We got our heads screwed on straight. We bring the best guests. This is a very important radio show. And that is a huge responsibility that I have, and that's why I work so hard. I am constantly being attacked by the national media, alternative media. Every lie you can imagine has been invented against me, down to hundreds of videos, editing my audio online, with me saying I hate America and things like that. It is so legion, the things that are done to me, and it doesn't really bother me because it lets me know we're growing, we're affecting change, we're reaching out to more people. I know human nature, at least I think I do. I'm always amazed at just how bad it really is, always worse than I thought. But there's also always better than I thought. There's also so many great people and wonderful people and so many dedicated people with so much creativity and passion and love and honor. But I don't gossip on the telephone. I don't have time to do it. I mean, I have, frankly, I'm not even very good at the business of expanding what I'm doing here. When I have people worth hundreds of millions of dollars that call me up and want to do projects with me, and I'm so busy kind of down in the dirt doing my daily radio show, making films, I'm so focused on the task at hand, I'm so task-oriented that I'm not even good at asking people for money. They're like, I want to give you a bunch of money, and I'm like, I don't know about any strings or anything. I don't know if I could use that right away or what I'd do with that. Let me get to the next level and then maybe. And I know that's things that other people would kill for, those type of contacts. But see, people of substance, people of quality, get an instinct for who the little backstabbing, cowardly scum are. And so they don't ever really associate with a lot of the other people in the, quote, patriot movement who are in this for the wrong reason. They're in it for personal power. They're in it for grandstanding. They're in it for Vanity Fair, you know, imagining how big and great they are. And basically pretty much everybody that I think of that you don't hear on this show, that'll give you a little tip. You don't hear somebody on the show, you can get an idea of what I know about them. They are just totally obsessed with Alex Jones, 24/7. And I'm always learning of the new evils I've supposedly committed and the new things I've supposedly done. And after you hear that and then document it from eyewitness after eyewitness, you just say, well, why do I let these people suck off of me and use my name and use me to go out and represent themselves as my bosses? You know, why am I involved in that? So I say, just get out of my life. Just get away from me. Get out of my way. Go do what you're going to do and just stay away from me. Leave me alone. And one of the worst areas in my life, because I can't ignore it completely, I can't avoid it completely, is locals here in Austin, Texas. And I mean local people kind of in the little petty hierarchy and all those that have flooded into Austin and moved into Austin, who I gave red carpet to all of them, and then every time I turned my back, a large knife would be placed squarely between my ribs. And so I just say, hey, you're ostracized. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to be around you. I just go and don't go away mad. Just go away. And they will not do that, folks. And they want to be in my business, in my life, doing things that you just couldn't believe to me if I told you. Just unbelievable stuff. And I ignore it. And then they invent new things to get people to feel sorry for them, people to, quote, come to them and demonize me. But I always learn about after the fact. And they demonize other good people who've been nothing but good to them. And then even when those individuals come to them and publicly say, well, that's not true, that's not even been discussed, it's like, well, we'll see. We'll see if that's the truth. You know, it's just, it's horrible. I've had people call me up and say, you better do what we say. You better play ball with us, or we're going to bring out bad things we know about you. And I just said, go ahead. There's nothing bad about me. What, that you've seen me falling down drunk before? That was the little blackmail thing and one other. I've made no bones about that. That I don't probably drink 8-9 months out of the year, and sometimes I end up going to a party, so I don't go to parties. And I end up having 4 drinks, 5 drinks, 6 drinks, 7 drinks, 10 drinks. I mean, that's the kind of unbelievably wicked stuff that I have seen, and I just sit here and I take it, and some other guy goes out and says, I'm a drug dealer on the air, and says they have witnesses to make it sound real, and then, of course, never present them. and I have to sue them behind the scenes to make them stop doing it, and then they swear they're not going to say anything else about me ever, and they do it again, and I just turn the other cheek? I mean, this isn't a game, folks. You're not going to stop what I'm doing, and you're not going to stop the people I'm reaching out to, and you're not going to stop the work I'm doing, okay? It's just not going to happen. The government's not going to stop me. The death threats aren't going to stop me. The audits aren't going to stop me. None of it is going to stop until somebody kills me. And there are people talking about that now. Well, I'm going to beat the hell out of him. Well, I'm going to come kill you. And these are people signing their names to it because of made-up lies and crap. Let me explain something to the local peanut gallery and the local people who want to be the grand poobahs of this movement. I don't think about you until you crap on my porch, basically. Until I have to scoop up every week the latest bull you have deposited and just throw it in the trash can. Hold my nose, throw it in the trash can, feel sorry for you, and move on. Now, I'm going to tell the locals this, and I mean it. Any more slander about me, any more crap, I'm going to sue you. And you're going to lose because in a court of law, it's going to be shown you're completely full of crap. I'm not involved in your petty infighting. I'm not involved in your tiny pipe dreams. I'm not involved in your little world. Do you read me? I've got rock stars calling me up that I haven't even called back because I'm doing my little thing. I do my task. I don't care about it. I get invited to all sorts of things. I don't go. I get invited to address a parliament. I don't go. I'm not into myself. I don't frankly like doing this. I do it too much. I'm sick of it. And I sure don't care about local people. Folks, you've seen this a million times. If somebody's got the hot restaurant in town and the other restaurants down the street are pissed off because they don't have a good chef, they start claiming the other restaurant has cockroaches the size of beagles in it. And that's said about me. And I'm tired of it. You know, I told John Villarreal at Access TV that I wasn't going to let him hand it over to Time Warner and shut it down. And I had to sue them, and I had to have PIs, and I sent him to prison for stealing, and I had to show him. And I had to sue three other stalkers over the years because one of them messed with my sister. The other one came to my house. I told you, I'm not playing games with them. They had to be drawn into court. Believe me, I don't want to spend the time or spend the 20 grand doing it. I don't care what your delusions are and what your lies are and what your attention-getting crap is. Any more slander or lies about me, I am going to litigate you into the ground. Any of you. I understand you eat, drink, and sleep Alex Jones, and that's all you think about because your head is not in the right spot. And I understand it's hard for you to understand I'm not part of your life or part of what you're doing, and I don't care about what you're doing. But because I'm in Austin, I have to constantly deal with the treachery that is a million feet long. Now, you've been warned. You've been warned. Leave me alone. Let me do what I'm doing and stay out of my way. Now, I apologize to stations and affiliates and people, but I know anybody that owns a radio station knows the crap they deal with and the weirdos and the weird people, and I know anybody who's in business and life knows about these things. I will be left alone, and I will not be drawn into your... I mean, imagine, people need to invent fights with me. They need to invent their importance. They need to cry wolf and cry out for help so I can find out how I'm attacking people when I don't even know about what they're engaged in or what they're doing, other than saying, stop representing yourself as me. Stop representing yourself as my radio show. I can't even do that. I do that, and then all these lies are represented about me because people have to invent crap to sell the gullible public. The same public last week that I just mentioned on air, I said, that looks like a costume, a suit. And it came out that the Bigfoot thing is a costume. You can look at it and tell it's a costume. I mean, I'm not that smart. Why can I tell how everything works? Why do I understand things? Why do I know human nature? Why can I predict what people are going to do? I keep thinking everybody else is like me. I keep thinking everybody else really loves green fields and blue skies and happiness and camaraderie and friendship and niceness. But building people up, giving people a hand, helping other people as I've done, 9 times out of 10, they come after you, man. They try to stab you in the back. Like, I'm the emperor, and they're throwing me down off the throne. I am not the emperor of all of this stuff. Yes, am I the biggest thing in the truth movement? Am I the biggest 9/11 guy? Am I the person with the biggest websites, the biggest radio show? Yes, yes, yes. You understand what a burden that is. And I tried to work with everybody. I tried to be nice, give people red carpet. And all I got was hatred and duplicity and backstabbing out of it, and then new lies for old. Now, I don't want to get into gossip and attacks and all the rest of the crap. It will not be discussed on my show. And people are going to be asking, what the hell is Alex Jones talking about? And that's just what my enemies want, is that attention. And I'm just going to tell them again, I am going to defeat you if you mess with me. If you attack me anymore and then lie and say I'm attacking you, classic. They attack Russia, say Russia attacked them. They attack Serbia, they say Serbia attacked Albania, Kosovo. I mean, this is what our culture, as above, so below. That's what the culture does. It's a culture of lying and crap. I'm sorry, I got a great mother. Just a wonderful, pure-hearted, classy. I thought growing up with people that told you what they thought and who were good and loving and honorable and who read poetry to me when I was little, and who took me to the symphony, and who took me fishing and hunting, and loved me. And I didn't know how good my father was, a good, honorable man who I watched people cheat and steal from and take his goodness and turn it against him. And I didn't have any idea that my family, all of them, are honorable, good, hardworking, salt of the earth. And I never realized what a treasure I had. I never realized that most people were scum and trash. I never realized how sick and degenerate our society was and how stupid the public was, people in our own movement, to buy crap and bull. I never realized just how bad this society is. But we're people who will go out and kill our own children and then think nothing of it. Go out, get an abortion, go out to the bar that night. Hell, get pregnant again, have another abortion. Men pressuring their girlfriends to have it because they're lazy, because they don't want to get married. They don't want to have to work an extra job. They don't have to raise those children. They want to go around screwing other women instead of being a man. It's a society of lack of responsibility and a delusional society that lies to themselves and invents whatever they need to rationalize the evil and the bull that they're involved in. I'm going to tell you one more time. I got work to do. I've got issues and things to take care of. But this flare-up and the boils and the maggots that infest Austin that have come streaming into here. I don't care. You can run around and do what you want. Just forget I exist and do not lie about me anymore. You and your delusional camp followers. It's like a child keeps running out in the street and you go, hey, you're going to get in trouble if you do that one more time. Don't do that again. It's the same thing with some bullies got you cornered, shoving you, pushing you, going, come on, punk. Come on, punk. Come on, punk. And you just go, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. That's another situation analogous to this. I mean, you want to jump the shark? Just realize you're not successful because of who you are. You're not successful because your spirit is wrong. You're not successful because you're in this for the wrong reasons. And it isn't me. You can't put all your problems onto somebody who doesn't care about you, doesn't think about you, and doesn't give a damn what you're doing. Just do what you want. Do it over there. I'm out of your life. Okay. Some of the other news that I have here in front of me. Russian general says Georgia, this is what this show is really all about, folks. Russian general says Georgia may commit false flag terror attacks. Deputy chief of the Russian general staff, Antonoli, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Nogovitsyn, warns that Georgia may be planning to commit false flag terror attacks by using mercenaries dressed in Russian uniforms as Russia moved to guard sensitive infrastructure against terrorist attacks. This is so serious, folks. This is what we need to be focused on. The depression that's coming, World War III that could be forming, the police state they've set up. This is life and death. In a news briefing Monday, he said, I cannot rule out that they might use mercenaries with Slavic appearance for a provocation, clad in the uniform of Russian servicemen in order to commit subversive acts both on Ossetian and Russian territory. In response to the threat, Russia has stationed troops around the hydroelectric plant viewed as a potential target in Ingory. The general, second in command, warned that Georgia may resort to subversion. Oh, false flags, screaming that someone's attacking you when you're really attacking them. We see that below as well as above, don't we? He warned that Georgia may resort to subversion in order to enhance its well-groomed image of being the victim. We see that a lot in life, don't we? Remember in high school or junior high, some girl would ask you out and you wouldn't go out with her, and next she would start telling people that you'd grabbed her butt in the parking lot? Same crap these losers do over and over again. Warning that Georgia might resort to subversion in order to enhance its well-groomed image of being the victim of a war that it started with the horrific bombardment of civilian targets in South Ossetia. Oh, we attacked you, and now you're standing up to us. Don't be a schmuck. It's like that in life, isn't it? Good people have to stand up. Chris in Florida, Tom, Mike, Mark, Rasheen, Kevin. Calls are coming up. Don't forget, we've got to keep our eyes on the prize, exposing the New World Order, waking up as many people as we can, not getting into infighting, moving forward, exposing the scientific dictatorship, the criminal architecture that is all around us. But this story is so big. I mean, we've got Gary Hart sending a letter to Iran and publishing it in the newspaper, saying the U.S. government will stage terror attacks if you don't submit to them. Thinking the public's so dumb he can issue open threats. All the neocons and Joint Chiefs of Staff recordings and Rumsfeld recordings about how great another terror attack would be. The editorials they write saying that. This is after 9/11. Comes out in New Yorker magazine, top investigative journalist Cy Hirsch saying Cheney planned to attack our ships with Navy SEALs dressed up like Iranians in fake Iranian patrol boats. That's coming out. Top Russian general says Georgia may commit false flag attacks in one of the biggest publications in Russia, and in a press conference, that they have intelligence of this. See, false flag is now being exposed. Self-inflicted wounds. It's now being exposed. Everywhere. The top attacked by Russians. And now the international news crews have gone in, and it's not true. It's been proven to be a fraud. In reality, 70% was destroyed, whereas Gori suffered relatively little damage, according to the United Nations aid convoy. So the capital of South Ossetia was almost completely destroyed. 70% is just devastating, and Gori suffered relatively little damage. The Russians went in and dismantled their military. Russia's TV channel, Zvezda, which has five camera crews working in the capital of South Ossetia, aired the same footage 2 days before on Monday, reports Pravda. Sky News showed its reports with no sound, whereas the people showed in the Russian report could be heard speaking Russian and Ossetian dialects. The crying people shown in the report were heard cursing Georgian President Shakashvili and for destruction and manslaughter. So you watch the same video and they're cursing Georgia. Hey, doesn't matter in America and England. They just play the video and say it's Russians being cursed. Works quite nicely, doesn't it? You attack somebody, then make up lies about them and say you've been attacked. Very nice tactics. After the controversy came to light yesterday, the Sky News clip was quickly pulled from the YouTube. In addition, CNN last week showed Georgian forces attacking Russian civilians in the capital of South Ossetia, the provincial capital, but then claimed it showed Russians attacking Georgians in the town of Gori. I remember Friday, 2 weeks ago when this first broke, a week and a half ago on 888, we were watching CNN going, hey, it's showing Russian missile launchers. And we figured out by the next day that it was Georgian. But the point is that, I mean, I can't even grasp the level of lies. Yeah, it even suckered me. I mean, it's just so amazing that they are able to do this. A 12-year-old American girl who was caught up in the brutal assault of Georgia's South City attempted to tell the truth about who the real aggressors were during a live Fox interview, but she was quickly silenced by the host. Western media coverage of the conflict has reflected a virulently pro-Georgian bias since the start of the war, once again proving that the press is not independent, but simply a mouthpiece of the same Anglo-American power structure from whom Georgia is merely another client state, a proxy. Good job, Paul Watson. Incredible article on PrisonPlanet.com. Don't forget this Matrix 9/11 tie-in that's up on JonesReport.com right now. Incredible video still up there. We'll be right back with your calls.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Now into the third hour, fourth hour, Cindy Sheehan joining us. Wide open phones in this hour and a bunch of other news, like Joe Biden promises Georgia billions of dollars. Ambush of French paratroopers kills 9 in Kabul. Credit crunch may take out large U.S. bank, warns IMF chief. Japan to label goods carbon footprints, officials say. Arctic ice sheet grows 30% last year. But first, we're going to take calls. Chris in Florida, you're on the air worldwide.
Hi, Alex. Yesterday, you had Burmison Rowe on, and they were talking about the R&D concerts.
I think it was Friday.
I think last week, yeah. And I wanted to ask you if you'd seen the YouTube video of the Illuminati symbolism that's being worn by the rap artists like Kanye West, Jay-Z, Beyonce's Skull and Bones belt buckle, and Nas, who just came out bad-mouthing Fox News on the Colbert Report I saw a couple weeks ago with a bunch of petitions in grandiose, bombastic fashion. I thought was a little suspicious. But
well, look, I'm not involved with the stuff coming up in New York other than letting them show the two films I just produced, Truth Rising and Fabled Enemies, for free to give firefighters and police money. I'm not going to New York because I can't go to Denver and then leave again my family. It's got to stop. I'm working too much. It's like I work so much I can't get off the treadmill. It's like I've got to somehow slow down. But let me just finish here. The style for the last 3 years has been skull and crossbones everywhere. Now, when Arnold wears an authentic Nazi belt buckle, that's different. But when, I mean, Burmese has got a couple of, his girlfriend, who's up in New York and really messes him, she sent him a few weeks ago a couple of shirts she bought at Target, and one of them had a skull on it. And I told Burmese that people are going to think we're the Illuminati. Please don't wear that around the office, because the public sees that and thinks that. But you go to Target, you go to these stores, I mean, it's just skull and crossbones everywhere. Kind of like before that, it was all camouflage for a few years. And they admit that a lot of the fashions are set by by Madison Avenue, by the architects. I mean, so that's going on. But to say that, I know there's a lot of videos, people don't have discernment. I've seen a lot of anti-New World Order videos where they show all seeing eyes, where they show New World Order stuff, and they're identifying it and saying it's bad. And then people see it. Who's that big guy who did some 9/11 videos about 9/11 being an inside job? He's huge. He's a white rapper from Michigan. What's his name? I don't pay attention to it. No, he's Eminem. Yeah, I know. I've talked to folks that know him. He's a fan of this show. Sorry, Eminem. I just don't keep track of it. The point is, people thought he was being New World Order there. He isn't being New World Order. I mean, here's another example. My films, Police State 2, it's Terror Storm and Endgame. When I'm talking about the New World Order, I show pyramids. I show all seeing eyes. I show that as the transitions. I'm talking about them. I'm saying New World Order, and I show you their symbol. And there's all these websites. Oh, my God, look, it's programming. It's subliminals. I mean, you'll have a 10-second clip of an all-seeing eye. That's not subliminal. I'm identifying our enemy's flag. It's like if I show a Nazi flag, it doesn't mean that I am for the Nazis. I'm identifying their symbol. This is how humans communicate. Here's an example. We're redesigning PrisonPlanet.com, and the great designer, and she makes, Hollywood posters, record covers. She hates the New World Order. She's made a bunch of designs for the header for the new Prison Planet. We're about to have another one in the next 2 weeks. People don't like this current design. That's fine. Some do, some don't. Point is, we're going to make it even better. And her new thing is it's the Earth with a rising sun coming up behind it, and I know Obama uses that. and it looks so good. That's an archetypal image. They expropriate these basic geometric shapes and ideas. You know, it's a prison planet. And it, but I'm, even though it looks good, I may have that sun taken off the back just so people don't sit there and say that. And I'm going to give you another example. Stay there. I'm going to come back and give you another example of this. So we have to have discernment. I mean, if there's a hundredth of a frame of an all-seeing eye in some TV ad, I mean, you know it's subliminal. But they're not doing that in subliminals. It's out in the open. So these symbols permeate our society. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back now into the third hour, 8 minutes, 25 seconds in. Okay, Chris, let me finish up, and I'm going to let you have your piece. I don't even, frankly, know who these rap groups are and people other than Paris that's coming, who I think's a great guy. Puts out a lot of good info. I'm sorry, I'm just not that hip to New York. I know Luke's a good guy. Others trying to get big acts there to raise money for 9/11 first responders and get media attention. I know they want to get Cynthia McKinney and Cindy Sheehan to go. I think they are going. Right, last time I heard, it's tentative. And so, I really don't know what to say. You're saying some of these people wear skull and bones shirts and with skull and crossbones and Illuminati symbolism. But I'll give you an example. I need to call him. Last time I mentioned this on air, he was listening. This producer was listening. Good friend of mine. I'm just so busy. I have no life. All I do is work. I did a couple interviews yesterday on my own show and video editing and then tried to spend some time with my family. I mean, it's insane. A couple weeks ago, you know, there's all these YouTube videos about Alex Jones is in Scanner Darkly, Illuminati symbolism everywhere. And back when I was consulting on that film, I had a limited role consulting. Tommy Pallotta invited me in. Rick Linkletter invited me in. Had been in another film Tommy had produced with Rick Linkletter, Waking Life. And, you know, you've heard Rick here on the air speak out against the New World Order and secret societies, and he really researches it. Rick told you before it was in Vanity Fair 6 months before that on the set of another film he was making with Bruce Willis, that Bruce Willis had seen Martial Law and Terror Storm in the trailer with Rick and had said that, well, I'm not going to be a neocon anymore. Now I know both parties are controlled. I know that the same people that did 9/11 are the ones that killed Kennedy. And Rick told you that word for word, and then, I don't know, 5, 6, I don't remember how many months, 8 months, I don't know, it was like a half a year later, he's interviewed out in Turks and Caicos with his ex-wife and her new husband. That's how, what a cool guy he is with a family. He just wants his mother, his children there, so he doesn't care. And he's there going, yeah, the same people, you know, that killed Kennedy are the ones that are running the current police state and basically did 9/11. And remember when Rick said that, everybody went on air and the neocon blog said it was a lie? That, oh, no, Bruce Willis didn't say that. Of course, his agent didn't say it was a lie. It was just some made-up person that claims they know him from the set, who nobody knows, said Bruce Willis lied. But then Bruce Willis went in Vanity Fair. You know, I'm not even star chasing for this show, though I should because it really builds the movement and people pay attention to it. I can get a hold of Bruce Willis. I ought to try to get him on. I think I'm going to do that. But I almost cringe to do it because as this show gets bigger, it just freaks everybody out, you know, in the, quote, movement who want to be the big shots, and then they make up more crap. You know, the goal here is to win. The goal is to take over the country and restore things, to be winners, to have a winning attitude, to not be a bunch of weird creeps running around talking trash about each other and backstabbing. So I'm going to go back to you in just a second. I want to finish this part, okay? Stay there. I'm going to go to you in just a minute. I know I was pausing there. Take a drink of my coffee. But I want to finish this. It's key. So I'm on Scanner Darkly. And then my consulting role was only, we think this is what, in 2014, what cell phone tower hubs that scan and control and track the entire population is what we've gotten from DARPA documents. What do you think of our research? And I just said, my God, it's as good as mine or better. And, you know, what do you think of this artist rendering? What do you think of this idea? What do you think of, you know, this type of face scanning system, you know, does this look realistic to you of what it'll be in 10 years? And this, it was like 2005, you know, 9, 10 years. And I was like, yes. You know, this is set in Southern California. And they said, also, we want to show people that it's the New World Order running this and shipping in the drugs to basically control the population. We want to, that's what Philip K. Dick believed. It's what, you know, his family believed. So we want to, you know, show a true rendering of his book, A Scanner Darkly, but then, you know, add some new items to it, you know, some new. And I said, yeah. And so it's not subliminal when Morton Downey Jr., isn't that his name? I met him a couple of times, but one of the guys that I didn't really get to know on the set good, wearing the, he's in the new Tropic Thunder movie, and Iron Man and all that, big actor. I'm embarrassed. I can't remember his name properly. You know, wearing an all-seeing eye on his shirt. That's not subliminal. They're showing you. When they show an Illuminati eye on the wall, they're showing you. So it goes two ways. When I, in one of my videos, and I was consulted on that and had a little bit of input on that. I was taken over to this mock house they had where the druggies live, addicted to the substance D, and hung out with Keanu Reeves, you know, and looked at the set and was asked what I thought of it. And, you know, and it was my fans who were the cameramen and the set builders and the women on it who were building the sets. And I was like a little mini celebrity out there, and it was really great to get to know Keanu Reeves, and I still know him and know his assistant, and they get my films, and they're very private folks, that's all I'll say, and they're nice folks. And I got to know Woody Harrelson, still talk to him every once in a while, and I got to know Winona Ryder. Boy, she was something else, I'll just leave it at that. even more pretty in person, I'll tell you, and very forward. But, you know, I mean, they were nice people. And they don't like the New World Order. So what does it mean that Keanu Reeves is in the Matrix 1999 film, and the Wachowski brothers, you know, I mean, in their third movie, it's all about the Illuminati and the New World Order and Lucifer, the great architect, and Keanu Reeves is like Jesus at the end. I mean, obviously, the whole thing's a cult. But did Keanu Reeves know about all this? I'll tell you this. Keanu Reeves is really smart in person. He just doesn't trust the public or trust anybody, and he's totally closed-lipped, so they say he's retarded on the news. And Keanu Reeves doesn't like the New World Order. And that's why he made that film, because it was anti-New World Order for nothing. Oh, little tip. Yeah, I think it was paid $45,000, and that was just to pay for his assistant, basically. You know, he did that. They all did that for nothing because they wanted to expose the New World Order. And then they're bad. They're bad because they are overtly showing you that. Just like I'm bad with Terror Storm saying the New World Order and showing a pyramid with an all-seeing eye. So, I mean, there has to be some level of discernment. If we show you a power pyramid in one of my videos segmented with the different elites, that is not subliminal programming. Okay, now I'm going to shut up at that point and now let you have the floor. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I wouldn't have brought it up if I hadn't been using some discernment, but I you know more than I do in the area of Illuminati symbolism and geometric symbols and such like that, which I wanted to talk about, and the Matrix, the new story you have on that. But in the YouTube videos, I don't know if you've seen the Kanye West, Jay-Z, and Nas, they have lyrics, and they do expressions with their hands that are tied to, you know, like having the doing the basic Masonic symbol with your hands over your left eye, for example. You know, if you look at some of their lyrics, they're a little bit expressive of their pro-Illuminati stance, especially Jay-Z, but I just can't type that right now. I didn't transcribe the lyrics. But what I was really calling
I know
about,
Jay-Z's real big, and I just don't. Yeah, I mean, they're just trying to get people that believe 9/11 is an inside job who are prominent to come to the thing. But I would add, people mimic power. They mimic whoever's the biggest. I mean, listen to all the other talk show hosts and every other little Patriot outlet. It's all InfoWars, 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 the InfoWar, where the, you know, they mimic all my nomenclature. So above, so below is, you know, is the motto of the world, the model of the New World Order. And certainly, you're going to have these rock stars and people who are waking up and who've been in an evil culture. And so them fluttering over towards the light and wanting to come out for 9/11 truth or whatever, does that mean they're perfect? I mean, I have Jesse Ventura on this show. And we kind of become friends. I can call him up at his house if I want. I don't. But, you know, we talk for a while, and he asks me questions. I ask him questions, you know. I don't want to brag. You know, he asks me for advice and stuff. and a really nice guy, getting to know me. And, you know, I met him almost 2 years ago and gave him some films that really started him off. And I don't agree with him on his stance on, you know, a few things, on abortion and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's like we put out our message, but we're nice to people. Did you see Jesus saying, I won't hang out with a prostitute or a money, you know, changer or a collector or a tax collector? Or, no, he went and then he changed them, but he did it in a loving way. And, I mean, I'm not perfect, man. I have been promiscuous in high school and college. I have never done really hard drugs. I've tried a few here and there and hated them, but, I mean, I've, you know, probably gotten drunk 200 times in my life. I mean, I'm not a big drinker. I try to stay away with it because I like it too much. I smoke cigarettes off and on. I mean, I've never been perfect. We have to be reasonable and try to reach out and grow our numbers and then take them over to our side, not just be judgmental about everybody. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, and I wanted to ask whether you're judgmental about these symbols. I want to point out that these symbols are turned upside down, as you mentioned in the Matrix clip, and symbols like the star, the Christian cross, the swastika, or which the Nazis used the male swastika rather than the female, you know, in combination to masculinize the state. And, of course, you know, the fascists is a demasculinization of the people. But I wanted to mention, say that these symbols are ancient, and the sacred geometry comes from Buddhist monks, Hindus, Tibetan lamas, and yogis. They're not in league with world domination. And these symbols are seen in meditation, but the state, in my belief, takes them. And these very inspiring and uplifting symbols that you can see in meditation and multitudes, as well as other phenomena. But these pictures, you know, they're pictures that are similar to fractals, pictures like the Hubble telescope.
Yes, there are archetypal, powerful images of God's sacred geometry that the New World Order, the devil, mimics and counterfeits. And so I agree, those symbols in and of themselves are not evil. They're being used because they're powerful and they speak to the subconscious. Okay? Do you agree with that?
They intimidate, they menace us by taking the natural order and turning it on its head, and that's their whole intention. But if you're aware of it, then you can counteract that yourself.
Anything else you want to add?
Well, yes,
stay there. I'm going to come back to you then, Mike and others.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John, Big John, Big Bad John.
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. Didn't say much, kind of quiet and shy, but if he spoke at all, he just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fellow.
All right, going back to Chris, and I'm going to hurry to the other callers, Mike and Rasheen, Kevin, Mark, Nate and others. Okay, go ahead and finish up, Chris.
Well, I would say that these world leaders are insane. They are mad because they have tried to take some of these sacred symbols that would normally raise one's awareness of their miraculous potential, and turning that to show off, to try to influence others, rather than seeing the priority of introspection and communion with God and love and giving. Their way is apparently from their symbolism and their actions. Physical expressions are about drawing in from the left hand, which in Chinese medicine, in acupuncture, the energy in most people flows in from the left side. So they're more about taking, whereas the more, I guess, what you might say white magic, or which I don't practice, I would say more of a yogi myself, but the white magic seems to be more of the right hand or giving, where the energy flows from the person. And these world leaders are mad because they see the need to show off a little bit of their power rather than seeking more and using these symbols that would normally uplift, turning them upside down is just so arrogant. They are not aware of the impact that it has on their own psyche in their attempt to influence others. They're not aware of how they're being used, and they rely on the creation for power rather than love, rather than the
creator.
Well,
I have just found in life, not getting into all this all this ethereal stuff, I just love to give. And then I found with so many people, the whole, not just the elite, but the population is in darkness, and I'm certainly not perfect myself, but I have these, you know, pinnacles in my life and my psyche of very, you know, altruistic, you know, very deep spiritual love and brotherly love and sisterly love. That, but then it, you try to give, and they take that as weakness, and then like go, and then try to overtake you. You're like, oh, here, let me give. And they're like, bite your hand off. And, you know, and it's like, oh, my gosh. So
no good deed goes unpunished. I know what you mean. No good deed goes unpunished. You know, it's like when you cast pearls before swine. But, you know, that's what I think you're so brave is that you take that risk with so many people. It's your, in my opinion, I would call it your dharma that you've taken on, your sense of duty to go after these things that would disrupt your peace so much. And you've taken on the duties of other people. I feel like it's a great degree. But, you know, I wanted to
well, you know, that's
out.
What my, I mean, that's what Alex means. It means defender of man.
Wow.
And that's that's always what I've wanted to do. And I just can't believe, I love seeing other people do well. And I didn't figure out until I was a teenager, most people hate seeing you with a nice car or a nice house. Most people hate it if you got a good looking girlfriend or wife or husband. They hate it if you got nice children. I mean, I've had, it's sick. I've had people come up and say, we're jealous that your children are so healthy and look so good. And you'll see people actually covetedly looking at your children. I mean, I don't understand it.
Living well is the best revenge, as the French say. And because you're doing well, they can only blame you, I guess, because of the comparison. But, you know, the polarity and the idea in these Eastern cultures and meditation is to raise the kundalini. I know Joe Rogan mentioned that on your show, and a caller a couple weeks ago kind of badmouthed it. He wasn't giving.
Well, I know this. Whatever it is, you can certainly get in different, you know, areas of your mind, your soul. And Joe Rogan is a lot less worldly and arrogant than when I first knew him. Gosh, it's been 10 years, and I still hung out with him a few, you know, I don't know, 10 times or something. He's a nice guy. He's real, but at the same time, he's still real arrogant, a lot of, you know, whatever you'd call it. And now he's not as bad as he used to be. But a lot of that comes with actually getting power. A lot of that comes with when you finally know a bunch of movie stars and all these women are throwing themselves at you, and you're on international television and have a number one TV show and the number one host of Ultimate Finding. You kind of figure out that that's not where it's all at. See? And then you realize, see, people that haven't gotten real success, they don't realize it's really nothing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Change is good.
Yeah. They think it's something they'll never attain. And that's the one thing I don't like. It's all the envy, man. It's just, what are you envious of? I'm nobody, folks. Everybody is somebody. But compared to you, I'm nobody. It's okay. Mark, Nate, Georgetta, and others. Go ahead, Mike.
Good afternoon, Alex. Real quick before I get to the issue, I want to talk about you can get a thumb drive that's got a digital voice recorder you can wear around your neck on a lanyard. If they take your camera, you got the thumb drive rolling the audio, and you can record up to 36 hours. So if they detain you, you can record everything they're saying.
Oh, yes, I actually have those.
Well, I've had several times.
I don't have the thumb drive that does 36 hours. I have little video drives that do like 45 minutes, I think.
I don't have the video. I probably need that, but I've had cameras taken. I've had them shut off. I've had them thrown away, just you name it.
I'd love to hear these stories. Where is that being done?
Tipton County, Tennessee. I got fed up with the corruption when we moved here 10 years ago. I actually ran for office 2 years ago. We got the black boxes, and at 9:47, I had 4,282 votes, a sizable margin. I had 79% of the votes. So I went to bed. The next day, I woke up, and I had less than 3,000 votes.
That's how it works. And then if you start complaining, the cops around you can go get in your car and leave, boy. This ain't your town. We run things here, huh? Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah. I've been charged with four felonies. They shot and killed my dog, shot at me and my wife, the buddy of the guy I ran against, who's the old boy.
Oh, listen, they're killing sheriffs and other cops all the time in the South. That's boss hog world, man.
I went to the, get this, I went to the grand jury to indict the sheriff's deputy who lied, the guy that shot my dog, obviously, and the assistant DA for giving false information to the grand jury. The jury foreman, who's always the jury foreman for years, same guy, went out and told the DA what I was doing. 10 minutes later, they arrested me for four counts of aggravated kidnapping. I said, really? Let me see the document. They didn't even have they had a blank piece of paper they were calling a warrant with no signature. And then
I've been at the hospitals when they're snatching people's children for no reason, and they'll swear out a five-year-old document with a totally different name saying it's a three-year-old child when it's newborn. And, I mean, it's all just totally fake, lawless crooks.
Right. It gets better. I was giving my father the stuff I had from the grand jury presentment and my calling my wife. The deputy said I could call my wife, and immediately five of these guys surround me and start saying, stop resisting, and escalated the volume. And then one of them jumped on me and started choking me. So I'm just standing there, and I turned my head to keep from being choked, and they arrested me for resisting arrest.
Well, don't they know, though, that see, there's bigger criminals above them that are going to hurt them and their family? No, see, they don't understand. They think they can take, and never be paid back, but they're going to be paid back so bad.
They don't understand that, though. These people barely have a high school diploma. This is a rural community where I had Toyota looking at bringing their truck plant to Covington, Tennessee. They shut down the operation that they were going to move to Marion, Arkansas because of me. They were looking at moving to Tipton County, but when I lost the election and they saw that the election was rigged, they pulled out. And, there are no good companies going to move to a corrupt community. That's why all these little bitty towns have just a few little employers, because they want it that way. It's total power control.
Oh, listen, I've worked and lived in these towns, and there's always, you know, the kids of the officials get to beat up whoever they want. They stomp around on these just unbelievable power trips, everyone groveling to them, and the police just literally swagger, and people actually bow to them. And that's what America is now. It's going to be like that everywhere.
Well, everybody needs to get involved, but everybody needs to be aware of the consequences. And just like being a Christian, it's not the easy life. When you stand up and speak out for truth and you shine the light on these issues, people are going to come after you, so be prepared and hide your family well.
Well, people say, where's the corruption? You go scratch the average town or city, it's just rotten. There's a new coat of paint on it, but under it, it is rotten flesh, man. It is just any direction you go in, just crime, thieving, stealing. And that's why they're building this police state up, because they've sucked it so dry they know it's about to collapse. And then they want to sit on top of the collapse thing as the king of the hill.
And you mentioned about possibly leaving and where to go. Well, I've got some.
I'm not going
to
leave. The point is, my instinct is leave. Yeah, I wake up in the morning, leave, get out of here. My instinct is get out. Like Jesse Ventura said, you can't help these people. He told me, you know, on the phone, talking to him in his house, he said, they don't want my help. They don't want me to run. They want to be slaves. I don't totally agree with that, but I understand why he's just going to Mexico. You know, and he's not even saying he's running to liberty. He's just saying you can't help them. They want to be lied to.
I know of two families that have moved to Bolivia, of all places, but I don't know the politics or the culture there.
It's horrible.
Or the economy. But they believe it's going to be a safer outcome. But I think we need to stand and take our stand here, and as you're doing, educate as many people as possible and get people to have a backbone. Don't be afraid to stand up. I had 15 witnesses that observed me being attacked in the courtroom, and not a single person is willing to step up, because it's like the lady who wrote the bond for me said, if I say anything, I'll be floating down the river. Everybody in the town.
Oh, are you kidding? Every few months I hear about them. Some evil boss hog sheriff will be thrown out, and then they just kill the new sheriff.
Oh, that's right. The last sheriff that was replaced, he's now over security in the school system. They created a job for him and covered up his crimes. And the one before him supposedly was involved in some murder, and they, wasn't charged, just, slowly moved aside, and somebody else comes in, and the whole thing is a cover-up. The administration covers for each other. It's the old boy network and that ladder. They know they can get to a certain point on that ladder, and they're comfortable, and as long as you have people with that mentality, people need to wake up, and people need to stand up, and they need to organize.
It is. It is a nation of yes men, and nice people tend to let people push them around and push and push and push, and I've just found it's better not to not to lay down. It's better to push back. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Now, I'll tell you where I've gotten to in my life is just, recommitting 10 times harder against evil. And, I'm the, quote, biggest thing in the anti-New World Order movement in the world. Wow, what a statement. What a fact. What an incontrovertible finding of fact. But does that mean I'm big? Does that mean I'm bad? Does that mean I have a lot of power? No, the contrary. You know what it's like to know? I'm like a little bitty gunboat going up against a fleet of aircraft carriers and battleships. And there's all these people around me in tin cans griping and bitching about my patrol boat. And I'm like trying to get them into patrol boats to fight the New World Order. And they're just busy saying I'm the New World Order in my little patrol boat with a 50 caliber machine gun and two torpedoes on the side. I mean, it's amazing. If we can get the people moving, though, that's a lot bigger than the enemy's formation. And folks think if they grovel and lay down that that makes them safe. No, that does the opposite. That brings whole societies down. It leads into real enslavement. Okay. Oh, my call list here. Kevin in Delaware, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Hey, don't let those people out there get you down. You've touched a lot of lives, and you've inspired a lot of people, including me. And
I've created a lot of crazy glommers on and stalkers, and just unbelievable. And every day I kick myself for people I built up that turned out to be just trash of the earth. But go ahead.
No, don't get down. I wanted to let you know, I called the FCC back because I was kind of wondering what was going on with the...
Oh, saying and, kill 9/11 truthers, kill Mark Dice,
yeah. Exactly. And this guy on the phone, he's telling me, well, first he starts out, he says, that's not really what this complaint form is for. You're using it wrong.
Yeah, you can't say the poopy word, but you can hire out killings.
So I just, kind of ask him, well, what's wrong? I mean, I was reading him the exact rules about, what made it a legitimate complaint.
And he said, those rules are for you, slave, not for us.
Exactly. So
what did he say?
He kind of tries a different tactic, and he's saying, let me get back to you. I'm going to...
No, you tell him you will file the complaint. See, they're not letting the complaints be filed. They're breaking the law.
Well,
you go to the affiliate station and you file it with his affiliates at the station. That's how it's done. And it goes in the permanent file, and they cannot avoid filing the complaint.
Well, I wanted to kind of just get other listeners, anyone out there who filed something, to let them know that, they can't just expect us to, forget about it and be distracted.
But did he refuse to take your complaint?
I'm sorry?
Did he refuse to take your complaint?
Well, I mean, I had already lodged it. I was kind of asking about the status of it, and he was kind of saying that, it wasn't, that's not what this is for.
Yeah, they
that's
never
kind of
filed
what he kept
it.
Coming back to.
You have to send it registered mail.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to go back and do that.
Yeah, that went in the circular file. But good job making the call.
Well, anyone out there who did it, don't let them think that we forgot about it.
I hear you. Let me tell you how radio works. I appreciate your call. You file them with the local radio station. It has to go in their FCC permanent file. But everything is about the people's ignorance, and they play it off. Everything is about the people's ignorance. They have to put that complaint in their permanent file at the radio station. So you file it both places. It's kind of like you go in and they say, your child must take vaccines and will be arrested. And then ask them, why will they be arrested? Well, because we're going to kick them out and they're going to be truant. Well, wait a minute, but I don't have to take a shot. They don't have to take the shot. But then you falsely accuse and then falsely kick my child out. You're the one committing the crime. Give me that waiver form out of your desk right now. And they'll go, oh, you know about that? Here it is. See, all criminality, all lies, all fraud. A nation, see, it's not just the government that lies. It's we're a nation of liars. We've become evil. We were prosperous. We were never perfect. We've always had problems. But we were prosperous because we had Anglo-Saxon common law and people that would fight. And now we've lost that. We have corporate fraud law and a nation that's learned how to lie and be scum. Till we're now just a nation of parasites trying to feed on each other. And God forbid you be a productive, smart, intelligent, dynamic person. The parasites come out of the woodwork. Okay. Mark in Georgia, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, God bless you, brother. As you've heard me say before, you're ever in our prayers, and you are an answer to a prayer. I heard something, and I want you to understand I'm preparing to respond to this person in your defense. You've got a lot more allies in the truth.
Look, I don't want to get into people's lies and rumors here on the air. There's nothing to say, and I'm not going to get into the thousands of slanders out there against me. That only adds to it. Okay, I had to put people on notice, though, and that's all that was earlier. So if you want to get into something else, that's fine, sir.
Well, the thing is, my approach to it is that honest people make honest mistakes. And as I say, as you've loved me as a brother in Christ, please show me where I'm wrong, because we're all wrong about something, you know. And the thing is that this person, I don't know the context. I don't know your side of it, what happened recently with...
Yeah, listen, sir, I'm not involved with all that stuff. Ted Anderson cannot allow other people to take our shows and then represent that they own that show, that they have that show, and then go out and do that while they're... All I said to Ted was, I don't like the fact that I don't want to think about these people, and they keep lying about me and doing things to me, and I said, why are you allowing this to go on? Someone to hold out that they are us. And he said, you know, you're right. I just figured I'd be nice a few years ago and let that happen. And then he went and did something else with somebody completely different, and then those people made up lies about him because they couldn't counter him on the right of something he has the right to do, so things had to be invented. Okay? And so that's just basically it. It's just people want to eat my lunch, man. They want to come in and take over my office. They want to be us. They want to run it all. That's what they do. I mean, the last time this other group was fighting with some other group, I was not involved in any way. Didn't care. It was internal other network, them fighting with each other. And the nutcase running that said that I was running that. And I had to take the person to court so that they would see that that wasn't true. It wasn't true. Now the other group that this person accused me of running is all fighting with itself and doing all this stuff, and they've sucked me in to say I'm involved in their fight, and it's not true. It'd be like if you had two neighbors fighting with each other in the front lawn of their house, and then you walk outside with your kids to go to school, and they say, he's behind it, he did it. And you're like, well, what's going on? It's craziness. So I'm like, well, God, all I've done is nice things for you. I don't want to be associated with you. A den of vipers. A den of vipers. This is my radio show. I own my radio show. Okay? And the platform my radio show on is with Ted Anderson. And I'm not going to allow people to take my show and hold it out as theirs. That's for AM and FM affiliates. Not for other hundreds of internet people putting it out and flapping and slapping their stuff on it. We were so nice we did that, and all it did was breed contempt, because that wasn't enough. Letting people hold themselves out as us, letting people pose as us, letting people take our advertisers and do it wasn't enough, because it wasn't enough for them. They're like, we want it all! Give it to us all! You didn't make us successful! You didn't slit your throat and bleed into our mouths! You're bad! And we're going to invent BS about you to attack you because we're trash! I can bring out, it's unbelievable the crap I put up with, and I should have never, the other stuff, it's unbelievable. And that's what people want. They want their loser lives empowered by somebody like me that's a real workhorse. That is not what this show is about. Good God, you people, the economy is plunging. The currency is falling apart. They're starting wars. The Russians are saying the U.S. through Georgia may stage false flag attacks. Millions of people are brain damaged from mercury in the vaccine. Sodium fluoride is killing people and injuring and brain damaging people all around us. And the whole world is diseased in other businesses, in other other things. Everybody's infighting and going crazy, and neighbors are fighting, and men and women are fighting, and the society is degenerating. I come on the radio, and I cover news, and I cover information, and people can't stand that. And so they want to sabotage what I'm doing, and they make stuff up, and then they force me to stand up against it. They're delusional. Okay? It doesn't matter. It means nothing. All these piddly-dink fake radio networks and things have the listenership of one tiny YouTube channel. There's probably 30, 40 YouTube channels that put my show up every day where they put up 10, 15, 20, 30 videos a day, each one getting thousands of views within a day. That's just YouTube. I'm on every video channel out there. We're the number one radio show on the internet on Shoutcast. Go look at it. Click stats on there. It's Alex Jones. I don't care what people are doing. They all move here. They all get in my business. They constantly make crap up about me. They say I'm a drug dealer. They call up and say, you better do what we say or we're going to bring out dirt on you. They engage in every form of wickedness, stuff I could go on for hours about. That the only issue is that I'm here in Austin. There's stuff going on 10 times worse in other places. But I don't have to sit here in the middle of it with all these nuts. Okay? Good God, do I have to move out of this town so all these people can just tear each other apart? I'll be right back. Stay with me. It always happens in every public school. The best looking quarterback, you know, the guy that on the football team, I remember seeing this from my buddies that, you know, played football. I saw similar things in college with sororities and, you know, the guy that all the girls want, they always make crap up and create fake controversies. It's what a loser society does. And that's all people do. And I'm sick of it, man. I mean, it's literally like in a scale, it's like somebody 1 inch tall running around, and I'm always learning of new ones. I mean, there's just thousands of groups and websites that are Alex Jones. They don't fight the New World Order. They make crap up about Alex Jones. And I'm tired of this show being about me. I got stacks of news, huge guest I want to bring you. I want to try to get people going. I want to fight. And I guess it's constructive you know, to illustrate all of this, so people don't keep falling into the trap. We have people to warn. We have people to wake up. We have issues to cover. We have things we need to do. And we never take responsibility for what we've done. You know, I try to do that, and it doesn't mean I always do. But I've just discovered today about more horrors with locals infighting with each other, and that I'm going to be blamed for that. And I'm like, you go tell those people that I'm not involved in that. You tell what the hell is going on now? Because I'm always the author of everything. I'm omnipresent. I can't balance my checkbook. I've been doing my taxes the last 3 months. I'm always forgetting to pay the power bill, and the power's getting turned off at my house. You know, but my God, I run everything, folks. I'm a mastermind. I want you to call Cindy Sheehan in 5 minutes. I'm not going to take any more calls at this time because I got a bunch of news I want to get to. And we've also got solutions that need to be discussed. Ladies and gentlemen, we're turning the heat up here. I'm working on a JFK film that will be done early next year. Cinema Verite, no voiceover, excellent. That gets into the whole New World Order system with breaking information. Fabled Enemies I produced. It was directed by Jason Burmes, and I also consulted on it, worked on it here with Aaron and Rob. They did great jobs. We're really going to be sad that Burmes is going to be leaving us in about 2 weeks. To go back to New York, but he's going to come back down in about 6 months, and we're going to hire more editors then because he's got my top editors, and it's kind of held up a project, but he's been working with us again on another film. I love Burmes. He's a good guy, and we're going to try to build him up, and, you know, I've really been watching him for a long time, and I think I can say he's somebody we can finally trust, but just a good guy, and Burmes' new film, Fabled Enemies, is coming out on September 1st, and it addresses the big kahuna, the Israeli situation in 9/11, the Pakistani tie-in with the British and the Israelis, how they did it, what happened, taking a big step for us, as big as we are. It's easy for some two-bit site with 100 hits a month to cover this subject. For us, it's a big deal. And we're doing it. We're covering the facts. We're just going where the truth leads us. And we'll be attacked from all sides for that. But it is Fabled Enemies. I hope you pre-order the DVD at InfoWars.com today. InfoWars.com today. You can pre-order it. It'll be shipping out the 1st of September. It'll also be at PrisonPlanet.tv for PrisonPlanet.tv members. It takes about 15 cents a day to pay for that, and it's $5.95 a month. It comes out to, you get a yearly membership, you get 3 months free. It's like $50 or something. PrisonPlanet.tv, and it helps us pay all the IT bills and for the IT people we've got, more we're wanting to hire, and everything we're doing here, ladies and gentlemen, while we fight off the Lillipullies as they try to tie the Lillipullies, you know, the what's the story, the little people trying to tie the big guy down and all their little mindless battles. That's a good analogy for all of this. And I'm just like being friendly, and they're like, he's plotting against us. And I was like, I don't care. It's like all these people offer me these YouTube channels that have like tens of thousands of members and that have all this stuff. And I go, oh, no, you're doing much better. You just keep it for yourself. See, those are normal people. They know who are listening. I want you to be empowered. I want the power of you to take action. I want you to be leaders. I want you to, I believe in you. I know we can defeat the New World Order. And we can do that with one more nail in their coffin with Fabled Enemies. Get it today at Fabled Enemies. We are joined for the next couple of segments by an amazing individual. Her determination to go and live for months on end out in the scrub brush next door to Lord Bush's compound, his fake cowboy set, really became a focal point of a woman they couldn't attack. She lost her son, bravely fought in Iraq, and she's Cindy Sheehan. She has been a great leader to all of us, a great example. She's also become a 9/11 truth leader in the last year. And I know myself, Willie Nelson, Jesse Ventura, others I've talked to behind the scenes about her, just admire her and think of her every day. And we just appreciate her running against that monster, Nancy Pelosi, that deceiver who said that, you know, they would bring justice in the war, impeach Bush, and all they've done is protect him. All they've done is fawn after him, and it's just unbelievably evil. Hundreds of thousands have died in Iraq since they got in almost 2 years ago. And if we were to listen to Cindy Sheehan and the other mothers and fathers of these dead troops, close to a million people wouldn't be dead right now. Cindy Sheehan, thanks for coming on with us, and I'm so glad you're running for the House seat of Nancy Pelosi.
Hi, Alex. It's great to be on your show again.
It's great to have you there. Well, I mean, tell us why you're running, how we can support you, and then let's break down what's happening in the current world and your take on it.
Well, I'm running, and I've been on your show, a couple times, I think, since I announced, but I'm running because, just what you said, Nancy Pelosi has failed to hold the criminals, the war criminals, the criminals against our own Constitution responsible, the Bush regime. And she has failed to use her power to bring the troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, as a matter of fact, she has appropriated a bill with $163 billion that would fund the occupation through next June. So I think that the Democrats and the Republicans are co-equally responsible for what's happening in the world today, from the degradation of the environment, to the collapse of our economy, to the astronomical energy prices, to the destruction of our Constitution. And we have to realize that we have to break away from just blind party loyalty to, if we're ever going to solve these deep, deep, horrible problems that are plaguing our nation and our world right now.
Well, you're absolutely right, and the last time I had you on was probably 6-7 months ago when you were considering if she didn't move to end the war or impeachment to run, but now you're officially in the heat of this battle.
That was a year ago, Alex.
Okay, well,
I announced July 23rd of last year that I was going to run against her, and yeah, we are definitely in the right? And we've been in San Francisco now for over a year. We've been consolidating our support. We just went through an enormous task to collect 10,198 signatures to get me on the ballot. And now we're ready to rock and roll in this campaign and just be very aggressive.
Well, I'll tell you this. If there's not election, I mean, if there's not election fraud, you should win. What are the polls trending? What are they showing?
Well, we haven't had any polls done yet. We haven't been able to afford to do any polls, but we're looking into that now because fortunately with, you know, the Nancy's performance or non-performance, our donations have gone up. So we're going to check in the polls, and I already know what's important to the people of San Francisco, and I'm fully 100% behind there. As to election fraud, that's always a major issue, but we're going to have hundreds of people out on election day sitting on polls, a team of lawyers, an election fraud hotline, and we're going to do everything that's possible to try and prevent that.
Well, Nancy Pelosi is really starting to run scared right now. Our guest is Cindy Sheehan, and she is running against the monster that is the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. We're going to talk more with her on the other side of this quick break.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Let's talk Turkey. Barack Obama is run by the same globalists, same neocons, that control George Bush. He's going to continue all this. John McCain's going to continue it all. They're co-guilty, as Cindy Sheehan was just saying. And the Democrats in the House, they voted for the secret warrantless spying on American people. I got a Washington Post article admitting all the police state upgrades, the federalization. It's all being seamlessly transferred to whoever gets elected. The military-industrial complex, the bomb makers, want it that way. It's going to be that way. You have 80%+ of the American people in most polls, some say 75%, but that's still the majority, who don't want more wars, who don't want all this to happen. Now the U.S. through Georgia has attacked Russia. The public's so brainwashed that they're being told Russia started it. I mean, this is dangerous. And all these top generals and experts have said this could start World War III. They want to go into Iran. It's common sense. It's constitutional. It's the will of the people. We need to hold them accountable. And how do we do that? Electing, and that will be a major defeat if we take out these evil Democrats and put real anti-war people like the great lady we're talking to. And I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. Get us out of the war. Give us back our liberties and freedoms. You know, we're taking them back. Can you comment on that, Cindy Sheehan, how important it is for everybody to give you support? This is one of the most key House races probably that I've ever heard of, ever thought of. I mean, you're going right for one of the twin heads that is allowing this mass murder to continue in Iraq.
No, that's absolutely right. Like we were saying before, there's very little difference between John McCain and Barack Obama on many key issues that are really important to this country and the world. Militarism, of course, Barack Obama wants to increase militarism. He wouldn't be where he was unless he has sold out to the military-industrial complex and AIPAC, which John McCain also has. And he wouldn't be where he is if he wasn't a puppet or a tool of the war machine. So it's so important to elect independent people like me to Congress to hold these people accountable. And I could have walked into many districts in this country and won easily. I could have, you know, beaten a Republican or a Blue Dog Democrat in many, many districts, and it would have been an easy race. But this is hitting them where it fundamentally hurts. Nancy Pelosi, no matter what people say, how she's a right-wing liberal, a left-wing liberal or whatever, she's not. She's also part of the system that suppresses us, and keeps us in these wars. And attacking them right there is attacking them right in the gut, in the very you know, I think it is extremely, and it's an extremely important election. And if we take Nancy Pelosi out of her seat, that means that there's going to be 534 members of Congress that know that the American public means business and that we want a true change in direction, not just empty rhetoric, but a true change in course. And this will, I think this will be very, very significant and a very historical moment for our country to really become the country that people say we are, and to create a new paradigm of peace, accountability, and economic equality.
Well, I'll say this, Cindy. I've come from, quote, the right, but I don't believe in the left-right paradigm anymore. But, you know,
no, I don't either.
Exactly. But growing up, but I have to say, Democrats wouldn't wake up to some of Bill Clinton's corruption and attack on Serbia, but Republicans have really shown themselves to be slavish to George Bush and all of his evil that isn't even conservative in the classical sense, but just fascist. Now I have to say, I'm really glad to see a lot of people, quote, on the traditional left really shattering their paradigm and really getting it and getting a lot of courage and understanding the anti-war movements infiltrated, which has come out by military intelligence and others to neutralize it, and foundation money, who realized and are saying, yeah, a lot of terror is provocateur or government-sponsored. And I'm seeing a lot of real courage by what you'd call the traditional left right now. Can you speak to that?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about.
No, I understand some folks just got in your car. And what I'm saying is I'm seeing more resistance to this and it being nonpartisan from people I see on the left. The biggest awakening I'm seeing is on the left. They're not being taken for a ride by the Democratic Party for year after year being lied to. They're not as gullible to their own party as Republicans are.
I'm seeing a little shift in that. When I first announced last summer that I was leaving the Democratic Party, and then I announced I was running against Nancy Pelosi as an independent, there was, you know, I got so smeared and attacked so badly by the so-called left that I see that they feel the same sense of betrayal by this two-party system that many of us have been seeing for quite a long time. And it's just because of things like Nancy Pelosi giving immunity to telecoms and giving George Bush, you know, the power to spy on us without warrant. They see that Nancy Pelosi was briefed on torture in 2002 and she didn't do anything about it. And they see that the Democratic Congress has the lowest approval rating of any Congress in history. It has passed the fewest amount of bills as any Congress in history. Its only job is to fund the federal government. It hasn't even, you know, done that. And it has used its power unwisely to fund these illegal memorial occupations and to not hold George Bush and Dick Cheney accountable. So people are starting to wake up.
Well, that's what I was going to say. A year ago, when you said you were going to run or may run and then started running, I guess you've been talking about it for like a year and a half, but now we're here. You did get attacked up front, but then it kind of sunk in. Like Mark Twain said in the beginning, a man or woman, you know, a patriot is a scarce thing, hated and feared and scorned. But in time, when their cause succeeds or when the proof is in the pudding, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot like Cindy Sheehan. And now,
right.
Now we're a year plus into seeing everything you said being validated. You're just ahead of the curve. I'm ahead of the curve. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Cindy. I'm seeing liberals, I mean, even former Congressman Dan Byrd come on here and say, you know, he believes in the Second Amendment now because he understands government's tyrannical. I'm just seeing the paradigm smash, particularly with the left, and really intellectually getting it, and really, I don't know, I'm just impressed with it. I mean, are there still throngs of Barack Obama zombies and Pelosi zombies? Sure. I'm just saying, right. I have to give credit where it's due, and I have to say that the left is really impressing me. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think that I do see that, and I agree with you, and I don't feel as lonely as I did a year ago. But then again, when I first started speaking out that this war was a legal memorial and George Bush was a liar and George Bush was a murderer and George Bush was a terrorist, you know, I felt lonely then, but most of the country eventually caught up with me. So I think that, you know, it takes somebody like me who, I don't say I'm courage, but I don't really have a whole lot left to lose. And I can go out front, and I can take the smears, I can take the attacks, because I've buried my son. And if they think that there's anything that the left or the right or the middle or anybody can do to me that's worse than that, that's not going to happen.
What did Janis Joplin say? Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose?
Nothing left to lose, absolutely. And I think with the attacks on our Constitution, with the attacks on our rule of law, with the attacks, like you said, it's becoming a fascist police state, and most people don't even realize how close we are to any second.
Yeah, it's time to get past the partisan. It's time to get past the partisan bull where you put a Republican hat on so you can't talk to anybody else outside that or ever think, or you put a Democrat hat on and then you can't talk to anybody or think. We've got to end that, you know, not talking, not debating, not being involved.
Well, and I think also you said that the left has started to awaken to that fact and believe that just because someone has a D after their name that they must be good, because we know that's not true. We know that Bill Clinton was responsible for killing right now maybe as many of Iraqis as George Bush has, that he and his policies were just continuing the fascist police state from, you know, the Reagan administration and the George Bush administration. So, you know, that it is nonpartisan. I mean, it's a nonpartisan fascist control of our government, so we have to join together in a nonpartisan way to challenge them. And it's also people on the right. And Ron Paul was able to energize a whole, an entire generation of young people who are willing now to stand up for our Constitution and stand up for the rule of law. And I don't agree with every policy of Ron Paul, but there's many places we interconnect, being anti-war, anti-imperialism, and anti-police state fascism.
Absolutely.
And we have to work together. We have to overlook our differences to confront this, because there's so few of them and there's so many of us.
Yes.
And we have to reclaim our power.
Yes. Cindy, we're going to come back in a final segment with you. Maybe it could be a little bit longer. I know you said we could have more time, but I know you're in your car and you get into a meeting. But before we go to break in 1 minute, fire out the website, the phone number, volunteers, money. People want to help you bring down Nancy Pelosi and hopefully bring this war to an end.
Well, CindyForCongress.org, CindyForCongress.org. All the contact information, our address, our phone number is on the website.
And people can give nationwide. They can give
nationwide. They can give nationwide. We've been able to raise almost $100,000 now, and it's come from donations from $5 all the way up to the maximum donation from just people. We won't take any money from AIPAC. We won't take any money from corporate lobbyists who earn their money from oppressing people and violence.
You know, Cindy, I don't want to waste any of my time with you. I'm going to skip this 4 minute break and then come back right up to the bottom of the hour at 30 after. So we've got exactly 10 minutes left with Cindy Sheehan. We're going to skip this break for all the InfoWars.com stream listeners, that exclusive stream. Got to go there. Not the GCN stream, but the InfoWars stream. And of course, watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll be right back. Cindy, let's continue with grassroots, what people can do who are in California, who are on the West Coast particularly, but also nationwide. I mean, people can call into talk shows from, if they're in New York, they can call San Francisco talk shows. I mean, explain your district. I mean, there's so much letter writing campaigns, postcards. I mean, there's people. If everybody does a little bit, we can get you elected.
Right. Yes. Awesome.
Tell folks about that right now. We're still on air.
Oh, okay.
I just skipped the break.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, where do we start? First of all, we accept donations. No amount is too small. We put every dollar to work in our campaign office. We are going to have a grassroots section that's coming up really soon, where people from outside the district, like you said, could phone bank for us. They can send postcards inside the district to people explaining why they support me. We are going to have canvassing and voter registration. There's so many people in San Francisco who are not registered to vote that are, they're qualified to be registered to vote, but they're not. They have felt so left out of the process for the last few decades when the corporate control and the rich, you know, established elitists have taken control of the country, and that's the only people that Nancy Pelosi represents. She doesn't represent my neighbor on the street who can't afford to buy gas, who are, you know, they're losing their homes and their jobs. So we're going to do a very targeted grassroots voter registration, get out the vote. We're going to give people, Nancy Pelosi always brags that she gets 80% of the vote. She gets 80% of about 20 to 25% of the people who actually come out to vote. So that's a very, very small percentage. So we're going to energize people who haven't voted for a long time to go back to the polls, to give them a reason to go back and vote. We collected almost 20,000 signatures. That's halfway to what we need to defeat Nancy Pelosi in November, and we haven't even started campaigning yet. So I think that with the help of people around America who realize the historic importance of this election, who realize that they have to do more, not write your congressperson now, you know, not support the two-party duopoly that really is just one party, but work for a candidate who will bring to fundamental change, who will start. You know, I'm a supporter of the Constitution. I believe that I believe in the Second Amendment that we have a right to keep and bear arms. And we know historically that was to protect us from the government. But I am just fearful of an armed revolution against this government. They have Blackwater. They have, you know, every conceivable weapon that they would.
Well, Nancy, studying the history of warfare, they will lose if that physical fight starts. But what we might get out of the revolution may be an even worse government, is what history shows.
Absolutely.
We can certainly win it.
Every time we've gotten a worse government. So I believe that taking out Nancy Pelosi,
yes,
is just an amazingly peaceful revolution.
We want something like Gandhi did.
It was. Spread.
We want what Gandhi did. We want a bloodless revolution. We all know it really wasn't totally bloodless. We're going to come back to the full audience right now. We were behind the scenes just on the internet. Now we're going to come back. I want to talk about, is Nancy Pelosi scared of you and where this is going? Here we go.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We are streaming this live as television over the internet at PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars.com. And we just came back out of the break. We skipped that break. Some stations, though, carried that break. In the time we've got left, you said such incredibly eloquent things there, Cindy Sheehan, and people should support you right now. I'm going to support you. But before we run out of time here, is Nancy Pelosi starting to get scared? Is she concerned? Because we know that you're wildly popular, especially in that area of California.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, you know, she's on her book tour in her very ironically titled book, Know Your Power, when she has abdicated her power, or like we said, used her power just to support the status quo, you know, the fascist police state. But at her book signing in San Francisco, I wasn't there, but I heard that people chanted Cindy, Cindy, Cindy for 5 minutes. And just the way they started to invalidate our signatures and starting to scrub the voter rolls in San Francisco from the people who support me, I think that they're very terrified. They're terrified, and all they care about is retaining their power. And all I care about is turning this country around. And that's what I have been doing since my son died. I've sacrificed everything to make this country the country that they say Casey died for my surviving children, for my new grandchild.
Wow.
But not just for them, but for the children and grandchildren of everybody all over the world. When America is healthy, then the rest of the planet will be healthy. And I think that with your support, with the support of your listeners, and other people around America, that I can do it. And I don't feel like I'm there by myself. I don't call it my campaign. I call it our campaign.
Well, Cindy,
if there's ever been a campaign in American history that was the people's campaign, this is it.
Well, Cindy, I agree. And Look at the cost. They're not going to stop. They're trying to start war with Russia. They're trying to reignite the Cold War. I mean, this craziness isn't going to end until we put our foot down. And I just appreciate you as a champion getting there and doing that. So people should support you financially and by getting the word out. And we'll get that side out in a moment before you leave us. But getting back into the fascist police state, PDD 51, all these police state measures, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, camps for the American people, a secret prison in Denver. All of that's happening. Are you concerned about another false flag or another stage 9/11 as a pretext or even with a new administration so the military-industrial complex can continue to move forward?
Well, as you know, the Presidential Directive 51, it gives George Bush the right to declare martial law without congressional approval, but it doesn't have to be a nuclear. I mean, it doesn't have to be a terrorist attack. He could declare martial law.
Economic.
Under, economic or
social.
A natural disaster. So, you know, yes, that's very terrifying. And many people think that they're not going to even allow the elections to happen in November. So if there was ever a time that the people need to take back their power, it's today.
You're right. This is the time to be vigilant. This is the crossroads. This is when the global system is liquid. Things are changing fast for good or ill. We're going to be the difference we want to see in the world. Like Gandhi said, look in the mirror every day, and that's where you're going to find the solution with our Creator's help and with great champions out there like Cindy Sheehan. 9/11 investigation. Now all these Republican memos come out saying we need a new 9/11. 9/11 would be great. Cy Hirsch reports that Dick Cheney just proposed attacking our own ships with fake PT boats with Navy SEALs dressed up like Iranians. Would you like to see a bigger investigation of that?
Well, you know, I have always called for a valid investigation into 9/11 that has nothing to do with the government, but has experts and subpoena power, and that we these people need to swear an oath. That just cracks me up because they don't care about swearing oath. You know, it means nothing to them. But yes, definitely. I have joined with the families of 9/11 to call for that. The 9/11 investigation that we had was a joke. And
what do you think of the courage of Willie Nelson and Jesse Ventura and the former Italian president and the best actress this year winner, all coming out saying inside job? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think that takes a lot of courage. And as you know, Alex, I've never said inside job. I've never been convinced by anybody that it was an inside job.
You just say it needs to be investigated.
You know that I think that there's so many irregularities and so many questionable things that happened that I'm not ruling inside job out at all. But I haven't been convinced of that.
But you did. I mean, did you hear 2 weeks ago, even Keith Overman covered it, that Cheney wanted to attack our ships with fake Iranian boats?
I did. No, I heard that. I heard that. Yeah.
I mean, that's bombshell,
and
isn't
that's
it?
That's what they wanted to do. That's what they wanted to do for Iraq. They wanted to
tell you what. I'm going to skip this break, Cindy. Stay there for 3 more minutes. We're talking to Cindy Sheehan behind the scenes at InfoWars.com. Okay, Cindy, we got 3 minutes left here. This is going out over the internet, and then it's put up on YouTube and everywhere. Continue finishing up with that. I mean, that's a big deal when we get
I think they wanted to provoke Saddam into attacking us because they knew they couldn't get the UN resolution.
Yeah, White House memo.
These people are monsters. These people will stop at nothing to have all the power, all the money, and all the resources. And I wouldn't put it passed them if 9/11 was an inside job, but I think that we really just need a very strong investigation into 9/11.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That we have Cy Hirsch saying, "Oh, my White House source, they plan to attack 12 targets. One of them was to create fake Iranian boats in our shipyards, put Navy SEALs on board, and have them attack our ships and have a shootout." And then somebody in the White House overruled him. My point is. Then we have the White House memo, flying U.S. planes low, painted like UN. But this is even worse, though, to actually attack our own ships. I mean, that's Cy Hirsch. That's Keith Oberman. I mean, we need to make... you've got a big voice, Cindy. I know you're bringing that up, but will you bring that up to the media?
Well, I have whenever I have an opportunity.
No, I know. You've just got a lot
of
power.
I'm glad I have the opportunity today.
Well, you're just awesome. I mean, did that blow you away when you heard that Cheney was planning that?
You know, nothing that these people do blow me away anymore. You know what blows me away is that we have allowed them to get away with it.
Yes.
That's what blows me away, Alex.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you're not letting them get away with it, and we just appreciate you. Give out the congressional website one more time.
CindyForCongress.org. Cindy, F-O-R. Congress.org.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I know you're in a car waiting to go into an event on the campaign trail, but do you have the phone number? Because we have a lot of AM and FM shortwave satellite listeners that aren't at computers and don't have computers that want to call you, a lot of elderly.
Yes, I do. It's area code 415-621-5027.
Give it out again.
415-621-5027.
I'm doing an anti-war concert. It's already set up, but I don't want to announce it until a little bit in October with Willie Nelson and Jesse Ventura. Maybe we can fly you in here or get you in there to be a speaker. I want to put too many speakers in there. I'll end up not having time to speak. But maybe we'll get you into Austin, Cindy, and I'll call your...
That would be great. I love Austin. I miss my friends there.
Well, I mean, I know you lived right outside it for a year.
Yeah, and Austin's a great town.
How long total, if you put it all the times together, were you out there at Camp Casey and before?
Oh, gosh. Months, like you said.
Yeah, off and on a lot. Yes. Okay, well, CindyForCongress.org, you said?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you, Alex.
And
hopefully we can come back on and update you on how things are going.
Please do. You've got a platform, and we'll just call you in a month and check in with you. God bless you.
Awesome. God bless you all and your listeners, too. Thank you.
You bet. There goes Cindy Sheehan. Bye-bye, Cindy. Okay, here we go. You know, I'm going to play part of two songs. Let's play Top Ranking, because I've been skipping so many breaks. I need a break to go to the lavatory, the boys' room, as they say. And then, I know we played it once on air. I know you've got it in queue, that Janis Joplin, Freedom, or whatever the name of the song is. Freedom's just another word for nothing else to lose, and there's nothing if you ain't free, or whatever she says. Try to cue that up, but get me Top Ranking. I need to...
It's ready.
The point is, I love this song so bad, I won't even have time to get out of here. I'll have to sit here and listen to it. This says it all. Again, I have always built people up, brought countless people on to raise money. You, the listeners, have given. We have come on here selflessly to build up other talk shows, other filmmakers, everybody. And we just all need to come together and fight the New World Order and stop killing each other. That's what they want. They want us fighting, fussing and fighting and killing each other. And I have so much brotherly love for people, but I do get just not even enraged. It's like disgusted with the fact that so many bad people know that there's power in the anti-New World Order movement and get into it, and we have to identify these wolves, and we have to rout them out. But then that itself becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of just infighting. Let's just listen to the words of the Rasta man, Mr. Naughty Dread. Here it is.
They don't want to see us unite.
No, I want to see us fussing and fighting.
All they want us to do is keep on fussing and fighting. They don't want to see us live together. All they want us to do is
keep on killing one another. Did you mean what you said?
Are you skanking? Are you skanking?
And boy, your lies blew up in your face, didn't they?
Oh, top ranking.
Top ranking.
Oh, did you mean what you said? Are you
skanking? Skanking.
Lord, Lord, Lord. They say the blood runs.
The blood runs.
And it runs through our line.
Through our line. John saw them coming.
Oh, with the truth from an ancient time.
The brotherly love.
The brotherly love.
Brotherly love.
The sisterly love.
I feel this morning.
I feel this morning.
I feel this morning.
never accuse me of what you are. You know, you don't really hate me. You hate yourselves, my enemies. And I take no pleasure that you're imprisoned inside your own evil mind.
They don't want us to unite.
All they want us to do is keep on fussing.
All they want us to do is
keep on.
Keep on fussing and fighting. They don't want to see us live together.
All they want.
All they want us to do is
keep on killing one another. Top ranking. Top ranking.
Did you mean what you said?
You guys are laughing at me. No, I know I sound funny, but that's from my heart. I love everybody. Yeah, you bunch of skanks. Dirty, creepy little backbiting, backstabbing devils.
Skanking, skanking.
Yeah.
Top ranking.
All right, did you find my Janis Joplin?
I'm still looking for it.
You're still looking for my Janis Joplin. It's in that evil, confounded 12-year-old computer they have up there. They torture John with the equipment up there. Oh, man, I am just exhausted. I got up at like 6 a.m. yesterday, then I was on Coast to Coast last night, and I got work to do just to the rafters, to the rafters. But you know what? It is rewarding. I am so alive. But I also want to just somehow slow down. It's like I love working, but I can't even get off of the treadmill. I am just like continually focused on this. Well, there's a great story up on JonesReport.com. I talked about it back in the first hour. And when the show restarts on InfoWars.com on the exclusive streams there, the higher quality streams, more streams, better streams, there at the InfoWars.com streams when the show's over in about 21 minutes. It will restart. We will be right back. And I went over that because it's pointless for me to go over that now because I'm going to go over it again when we start that other hour. But I wanted to get into some of the other environmental news here. I want to hear Janis Joplin. My bones need to hear that song. It's Tommy McGee's the name of the song.
Bobby McGee.
Bobby McGee. There you go.
It's downloading.
It's downloading. Oh, we're having to grab it again.
Chris Christopherson wrote that.
Chris Christopherson wrote that. That's interesting. That's right, because they were going out together. Could just popped in here. I can't even get these names straight. The goodly tray. Can I see the other goodly creatures out the window? You know what? Play, while you're downloading that, play Babylon. The Bob Marley about the vampires. The Babylon system is the vampire.
Let me load it up one second.
Babylon system is the vampire. Always sucking your blood of the children. That's it. God, I hate vampires. Psychic vampires are just everywhere.
It's ready.
Yeah, here it is. This is a song dedicated to all the psychic vampires out there, miserable creatures that will be defeated trying to suck the blood.
Yes, we've been trying to do the wine press much too long.
Thank you. soaked in the blood of the sufferers.
Hey, Jones.
Yeah, we're on air right now. Go ahead and tell me.
I was just going to tell you, Bobby
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the immortal Bob Marley. The Babylon system is the vampire. All right, I'm going to play part of Bobby McGee, and here it is for you, ladies and gentlemen, on the one, the only GCN Radio Network. I'm going to come back and hit some final news for the last 15 minutes in the zone here before retransmission launches. T-minus 16 minutes. Stay with us.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, on us feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, hon, if it ain't free. No, no. Yeah, feeling good was easy love when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me, good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mine to the California sun, hey, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything we've done, yeah, Bobby, baby, kept me from the cold. Next to mine. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. That's all that Bobby left me. But if feeling good was easy alone when he sang the blues. Hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Mm-hmm. Good enough for me and my Bobby.
Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time for 4 hours, we're live. Back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. with an abbreviated beginning of the week transmission. It's a free podcast at InfoWars.com. More than 60,000 people a day and growing are downloading the free podcast at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com to their MP3 or iPod device. Listen how they want, when they want, where they want. Millions and millions every month tune in just over the internet to listen to the radio show. Go read the Shoutcast stats. Click on stats at the top. Millions more listen on a growing list of fabulous AM/FM affiliates and good old WWCR, Worldwide Shortwave International Service, as well as satellite. We're thankful to all the listeners, the sponsors. We're thankful for everyone that has made this show possible and who have resonated with the message that we've brought forward. And together, we have woken up tens of millions. We will wake up tens of millions more. And we're going to give this New World Order dehumanization system one hell of a fight, thanks to all of you and the good Lord above. I've got some final news I want to hit in the 15 minutes that we have left here today. Of course, there's a key story up on PrisonPlanet.com that I covered in detail earlier in the show that will rebroadcast in a few minutes. But Russian general says Georgia may commit false flag terror attacks. The deputy head of the Russian military, number two, says that he's afraid U.S.-backed forces may pose as Russian military and stage false flag events. Now, the Russians are not angels. You have to remember they can do that as well. Just be aware of the false flag type operation. Also, speaking of Georgia, Joe Biden promises Georgia $1 billion. The Senate fixture from Delaware, this is by Kurt Nemo, Infowars.com. Joe Biden has promised to give your money to the horn dictator, Saakashvili, and Georgia. The United States will consider providing $1 billion in emergency aid to Georgia, a top U.S. lawmaker said today on his return from a visit to the conflict-torn nation, reports Dow Jones Newswire. When Congress reconvenes, I intend to work with the administration to seek congressional approval for $1 billion in emergency assistance from Georgia, said Biden. This money will help the people of Georgia recover from the damage that has been inflicted on our country, our economy, and send a clear message that the United States will not abandon this young democracy. Actually, Biden has promised to jack the debt up another billion or so. The U.S. debt is now over $100 trillion, so that a mere billion, the government says, is debt is only $10 trillion. But the Federal Reserve and the Federal Express says it's closer to $100 trillion, which means it is over that amount. At any rate, Biden is simply taking orders from the globalists. Biden is the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. It might well be called the Council on Foreign Relations Committee because that's where the marching orders come from. Russia punched some pretty big holes in the globalist plan for little Georgia, and the CIA created client state so the American people have to ante up. And it goes on a little bit more from there. Continuing, ladies and gentlemen, credit crunch may take out large U.S. bank, warns former IMF chief. They told us 8 months ago that the bank foreclosures and the bank collapses were over and the housing foreclosures were over, and it just got worse 2 months later. And then they told us 6 months ago it was getting better, and then a couple months later it's got worse, and got worse last month, and it's worse this month. The deepening toll from global financial crisis could trigger the failure of a large U.S. bank within months, a respected former chief economist of the International Monetary Fund claimed today, fueling another battering for banking shares. Professor Kenneth Rogoff, a leading academic economist, said that there was yet worse news to come from the worldwide credit crunch and financial turmoil, particularly in the United States, and that a high-profile casualty among American banks was highly likely. The U.S. is not out of the woods. What is it, Bank of America? Is it Citibank? Who's next? I think the financial crisis is at the halfway point, perhaps. I would even go further to say that the worst is yet to come, Professor Rogoff said at a conference in Singapore. In an ominous warning, he added, we're just not going to see mid-sized banks go under. We're not just going to see mid-sized banks go under the next few months. We're going to see a whopper. We're going to see a big one. One of the big investment banks, or the big banks, he said. Rising anxieties over worse to come in the credit crisis sent shares tumbling in Europe and Asia. And then it gets into all of that news and information for you. When we come back, I want to get into the latest global warming, which means global tax, global regulation, social workers managing every facet of your life, taxing and tracking everything you do. We'll come back and hit some news on that and wrap up this transmission. Stay the course. And as I said, I covered so much key information in the first hour on the whole esoteric agenda and this new connection to the first Matrix movie to 9/11. So that'll be covered during the rebroadcast. If you want to find out what happened there when the show is over in T-minus exactly 9 minutes and 1 second from now. The private banking families that own and dominate our planet to a great extent created communism to con the serfs back into slavery. It's all declassified, all public. Put Mao in, Lenin, Stalin, all of it. Now they need a new way to con people into giving up control of their land, what they do, taxing the air we breathe. One of the four life-giving things that are needed on this planet. Water, sunlight, oxygen, and carbon dioxide. And they're going to put on the side of your car, on the sticker in California, what its carbon footprint is. They're starting to put it on products, shaming you for your great crime you've committed. Meanwhile, thousands of true environmental things are going on that are horrible. Doesn't matter. Japan's doing it, AP reports. Japan, this is AFP, excuse me, Agency French Press. Japan to label goods, carbon footprint, officials say. Japan is planning to label consumer goods to show their carbon footprint in a bid to raise public awareness about global warming, an official said Tuesday. Under the plan, a select range of products from beverages to detergent will carry markings on the carbon footprint of how much gas responsible for global warming has emitted through production and delivery. And so this is, you've got to label something before you start taxing it, and then they're going to have your carbon credit card. This has all been announced globally through your nation that you will pay taxes on when you go over that carbon allotment. So just absolutely amazing there. Also, Arctic ice grows 30% in a year, another Paul Watson article. Predictions of ice-free summer for the first time in history, completely debunked. Alarmist scientists who predicted that North America could be ice-free this summer as a result of global warming have been embarrassed after it was revealed that Arctic ice has actually grown by around 30% in the year since 2007. Back in June, numerous prominent voices in the scientific community expressed fears of mass melting in the polar ice caps. And they show the ignorant public ice flows, and they think that's it breaking up. It always does it every summer. Including David Barber, the University of Manitoba, who told National Geographic magazine, "We're actually projecting this year that the North Pole may be free of ice for the first time in history." Then it goes on with the satellite photos and all the documents that it's actually gotten 30% bigger, growing at record rates. See, people don't know that it rains on top the glaciers and on top the Arctic and Antarctic, the north and south, and that they get bigger, and then the weight of the mountains, it pushes out and then sloughs off and breaks off. So it rains in the Arctic and the Antarctic, and it builds them up, you see, and then in the summer, it heats up and the edges melt off and fall. And they go, look, it's breaking off. It's melting. Polar bears are drowning. Hey, look, it's on a little bitty ice. It's hunting beluga whale. It's hunting seals. These things swim hundreds of miles just hunting. All over the news, drowning polar bears. They treat you like you are complete and total morons. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that this broadcast has been made possible by eFoodsDirect.com. eFoodsDirect.com is the best horrible foods company out there, bar none. And their wonderful sponsors, call and get a free brochure or free audio CD about their fine products, or go ahead and start getting some high-quality freeze-dried or dehydrated food. 1-800-409-5633 for the free brochure. 1-800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. Giant banners at the top of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Again, wonderful folks. Please don't forget eFoods Direct, eFoodsDirect.com, 1-800-409-5633. This is where I've gotten my storable food. And don't forget Ecola Blue, atmospheric water generator for your home. Pays for itself in 1 year if you buy water from the store, plug it into a solar panel or into the wall. 7.5 gallons a day. Absolutely revolutionary. Wonderful system. We have it here in the office, 866-585-4044, 1-866-585-4044, or EcolaBlue.com, EcolaBlue.com. Big fat banner on InfoWars.com on the main page. Do not forget EcolaBlue.com, 866-585-4044. And do not forget that right now, that key first hour where I just jam-packed everything, starts right now. I start hot and heavy with it. We'll be back in 1 minute.